And I'm going to call the work session to order.
I'll try and call it one.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call.
Gaylord?
Here.
Grunge?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Towns?
Here.
Quorum present?
Okay, this time I'm going to turn the meeting over to Mike Canner, city managers, to the discussion about the city facilities projects. So, Mike, it's all yours.
Well, only for a short period of time. Since the commission last met on this subject, Ray Kender and his team from Environment Architects have been meeting with city staff and researching various options, doing a lot of exploration up at the North Boyne site to see where possible building locations could go, meeting with Andy, talking on building sizes, if there's areas to cut back, what we would need up there, and putting together some options for you to look at today with some cost estimates as well. So with that as a precursor, we'll turn it over to Ray.
Thanks, and glad to be here on this beautiful evening. We have a lot of materials to cover, so I'm going to jump right into it, and we'll just move forward and go through. And what we've talked about doing, or I think the best approach will be, is we'll start at the DPW, because that's the driver for this, you know, where we're at right now, and then we'll kind of end up at this location, talk about what we've kind of done, where we're headed on that. And so, as Mike mentioned, we had some discussions about where this building should go, both from the city commission driving the idea that we want to get away from. Is it all right if I
turn some of those lights off? Yeah, the first two or three switches.
That might make it a little bit easier. So this shows a diagram of the North Boyne site. One of the fundamental things that we want to do is try to get away from the residential use down there, so that was driving a lot of what we're doing. So we looked at the idea of going further north on the property and getting up in this area, and in doing that we had C2A, and then Andy's guys did some dig test pits basically to see what we thought was suitable soil. This is not scientific true soil exploration, but we wanted to just get an idea if it made sense to be even looking in these locations. And this was just a quick sketch diagram that Larry Fox did for us to say what they thought was going to be potentially suitable, because one of the things that we were looking at is up on the top here, we were looking at possibly utilizing that to put the building, move it way up to the north. We had that access road existing there. There's a hillside there, so there's, depending on where we place the building, there was some opportunity to screen it that way. Bottom line, that turned out to be a likely and suitable spot just because of the nature of the fill and materials that have been put up there for years. So that was determined to be unsuitable. We know up in this area where the existing compost is, there's a lot of organics and so forth in there, so there'd be a lot of soil work associated with that. So we've kind of been staying away from that, both from the organics but also from the water. There was also then the discussion of this area here, which they determined to be possibly suitable. So if we ended up doing a version that'll look at it there, and then we did a version, here are the existing buildings, so we have determined that this area is likely suitable, is kind of how C2AE broke it down for us to say this is where we should be considering. So based on that, we abandoned the far north spot at this point. We're looking at an option that puts it up here. We're looking at an option that puts it in the area of the existing buildings. That, of course, brings it closer to the residential, which is a bit of the problem. So the first drawing that I'm going to go to, I don't know why my computer wants to keep shutting off quickly here. The first drawing that I'm going to bring up is called A1.0, which is part of your packet. You want to follow along and look at that. So this is this is what we're calling site option one. So what was looking at utilizing that likely suitable area. So the blue box is the proposed structure, and we'll look at a blow-up plan of that in a second. We use the exact same footprint. We came up with one design, then we got together with Andy, had some original comments from him to revise the original design that you saw when we were doing our schematic studies.
And then we refined that,
had Andy's people look at it, and then we refined it again. So where we're at right now, footprint-wise, is this structure right here, which is predominantly a metal building with a little bit of a concrete block building. And again, I'll show you the building in a little bit more detail in a second. The existing salt barn is here. The existing cold storage building is right there. And then this box right here is representing another future cold storage building that's included on our in our program, but it's also included in our cost estimating. So the key with this one is we are using the trees to help screen the building and activity from the residential area down here. It was maintaining the existing compost area. It was just a little bit different orientation with the road. There's a lot of line work here, so it's a little bit difficult to see, but essentially, I'm not sure how to change this. The road's coming up through here, and then what this would do is it would put the circulation kind of through the yard here. We're showing some staff parking here. We have to refine details, so this is, again, conceptually just trying to look at what that option would look like. This little diagram down here just removed all the background line work, so when you look at that, you can look at it a little closer and see sort of what the orientation of the roads and so forth are. And then the images on the side show you what that looks like in three dimensions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump to the three-dimensional right now. So this is looking at that scenario, the residential units being there, the new DPW garage, as we're calling it there, salt barn, cold storage that's existing, and then a new cold storage here. And then just to orient people, that's where that compost area is back in there. So that was the first option that we're looking at from a site standpoint. That puts that building approximately 405 feet from this residence right here. So I just kind of put a dimension on there to give people an orientation. But so from here to here is 405 feet. So that gives you some sense. We're not in this version doing any work down here, which is all city property. We were trying to keep it as far to the north as possible, but we think that's the best option. We do have options as to how we orient the cold storage, but right now the thought was let's keep it in the vicinity of where we have those existing buildings. And we'll probably look at putting the existing salt barn right on top of, you know, that, just rebuild the existing salt barn and potentially use that same location. We can refine this with Andy and his team just to see what will work the best once we determine an actual location here. So that's option number one. So let me go to the next drawing, which is option number two. So this option looked at bringing that building down to the south of where the existing structures are. We kept the cold storage in the same place. We pretty much are utilizing the existing road, the existing compost, and everything would be accessed just as it is today. So that doesn't really change the flow of the site. But what it does do is it brings the DPW garage a lot further to the south, and it also brings it a lot closer to those houses. So the last version, we were at 405. This one, we're about 315. So there's about 100 feet of difference from here, bringing it all the way down to there. So it's going to be a lot more prominent in terms of the relationship to those residences, but we do think the soils are going to be better down in that area there. And same diagrams, same 3Ds on your drawing. So let me bring up the... So this kind of just shows you the relationship of what that would look like when we move that away. So again, this is probably a lower impact site-wise as far as what we have to do with associated site work, because we're really utilizing a lot of the site work that's existing up here. We're not really doing anything at all up there. So I think from a site standpoint, there probably would be a little bit less cost with the second version, but we do give up the proximity to the residences. And so the idea would be that the vehicles would be flowing out of the building this way and, you know, kind of coming up and entering from this side. So with that, let me look at let you look at the site or the floor plan for the building, and then maybe take questions and talk about any specific things people have. So moving to the floor plan, which would be the third sheet in your packet. Oh, I'm sorry. It's this blue one right here, the large blue one would be the blow up of that floor plan. So again, we looked at some different things and kind of refined this along the way. The darker blue is representing a metal building. So a pre-engineered metal building structure is what we're looking at there. We're showing an 8-foot sidewall of concrete block that would go around the base of that building from a durability standpoint. And then what we're looking at with this lighter blue is that's more of the, it's actually primarily the repair bay and the wash bay, but there's also some office and staff functions that go in there. So square footages are listed on that drawing. We have about 11,954 square feet of the dark blue metal building, and then we have about 2,800 or 2,900 almost square feet of the concrete block building. And then what that looks like, again, is, I'm just gonna zoom in on this. So the idea is that we have this large pre-engineered building, and then around the edges of that, at the one side, we'll have the two bay doors are representing the wash bay and the repair bay, is essentially what you have. And then the main entrance for the trucks would be on this side. And when you look at the floor plan, you'll see it's kind of a one-way orientation that we have going on here. Oops. So,
actually, where you've kind of got that backwards in here, but
well, we mirrored it on the site, is what we ended up doing.
Well, no, those are back end spots, not the ones.
Oh, okay.
There.
So you would actually be entering from.
We would come in from that way there.
Back in and flow right. Out. So, right. A good deal of the vehicle traffic will be on the far side, I guess, is what I was trying to get at. In either scheme, what we were looking at was to try to keep the focus on the far side. So what we're looking at, this plan's fairly small, but we had a little storage shop area. I'm going to try to use the pointer so I don't get in people's way here. So up here we're looking at some storage shop area. This is the repair bay. This is the wash bay. In an earlier scheme that we had done, we actually had two repair bays and one wash bay. And working with Andy, that was one of the things that we were able to cut out, is to get rid of one of the repair bays, which saved us some square footage there. We've got a men's bathroom with some lockers and a shower, a smaller women's bathroom with lockers and a shower, and then there's another shop area here. There's a staff room that's happening here, and then these three spaces are small. There's an office that would be for two foremen. There's the DPW director's office, and then there was an office that's associated with the shop. And then this is, as I said, another shop. And then really what you're looking at is, you know, all the vehicle storage space. Again, entering this way, using some of these little dashed boxes are intended to represent where loose equipment would be stored, like lawnmowers and that sort of thing. And then on the walls is where we were showing, you know, things that would be hung on the walls. We did talk about also the opportunity that in front of the vehicles, there's wall space that would certainly be able to be utilized for hanging things. We moved the generator out to the outside at points. We had that on the inside, but we're discussing that with Andy. We've moved that generator to the outside. And again, we've tried to push some of those noisier, more active areas away from the residential is really what we were trying to do in both orientations. So square footage wise, we've looked at the possibility of taking it down. These bays right now, this would represent the metal frame, and the metal frame bay spacing that we're showing is 25 feet. So we looked at the option, can we take a bay off? That didn't seem feasible from the equipment that we have and what they're trying to accomplish there. So right now, I think where we're at, you feel good, Andy, about the space that we're showing is appropriate for your needs?
Yeah, right now that gives us enough room for what we have with one additional bay for a possible expansion, or again, another area to store some smaller loose equipment at this point. I believe it would be mindful for us to consider constructing that end of the building in such a manner that should we need to expand in the future, we can. By that I mean without having the concrete knee wall type or block knee wall on it, and the building would just be an all metal finish on that end. Would allow us to expand in that direction further if we need to at a much less cost than having to demolish the block type structure. So,
and the way that they do the metal buildings is that they call that a expandable end wall. So they have a little bit different structure that they would do on that, that we would design into the end wall. And so 20, 30 years down the road, the city grows, you need to add more equipment. It's fairly easy to just add on additional bays, and that would happen on this side. So that was another change. Is earlier in the design, we had physical space, repair bays, and so forth on one side, and then we had the office space on the other side. And what we ended up doing is we kind of consolidated those from the last version so that it would make it feasible for an easily expandable situation there. Moving into the cost estimate, so the first page of your cost estimate sheet kind of outlines some different square footages and what we are looking at on the building. So right now we just have a line item number that we took from our last round of estimating that was done of $252,000 for site work. So I think that's a reasonable number to put in. Again, assuming we went with the second version, there might, that cost might be able to come down a little bit, because there probably wouldn't be as much need for soils work and potential pilings. Because again, the farther north we go on that site, the more marginal the soils are going to be up in this area. So even, you know, we're going to have to do further soil exploration in either case, but if we're up in this area, there's a good chance that we're going to run into organics and have to do some pilings or dig out some organics and put in more compacted fill and so forth. So that would probably affect that $252,000 number. We have a line item for the cold storage pole building. We see that building, which is this structure here, as being a wood framed, truly a pole building type of structure. We put in 6,000 feet for that based on, you know, discussions with Andy again. And so we're looking at approximately $270,000.
What are we putting in there?
That would be off-season storage,
right?
I guess, in
different equipment that we have that we don't use, that we don't keep inside year round at this point in the heated spaces. For instance, like the front plows off the big trucks, mm-hmm. instead of leaving those sit outside, we keep them indoors. They hold up a lot better. The blower, for instance, off the holder, we go in there in the summertime, the mower deck in the wintertime. You know, yeah. Just trying to not store stuff right all over town like we're doing right now.
And then the next line item on this would be the salt barn. So the idea is we are maintaining the size of the existing salt barn. We are looking at just reconstructing it, because that existing salt barn needs to be reconstructed in the condition that it's in right now. So that was put in there as a line item. Then we had also a cost for demolition of the existing structure. And then moving down to the next section there, that's where we broke down metal building, and then the second line is split face CMU veneer, so that would be that 8 foot veneer that I talked about going down. And then we have a CMU building, which was the light blue portion on your drawing. We're assuming we're going to have to fire suppress this building because of the vehicular nature of the uses, and then we had some plumbing, mechanical, and electrical numbers that went along with that. So bottom line, we're trying to narrow this budget down on this operations garage as low as we possibly can. Based on the square footage and everything that we're working with today, we think that the operations garage structure itself is going to be in the neighborhood of $1,142,000. So that's that piece, and then you would add the salt barn onto that, then you'd add the pole building onto that, site work. So that gives you a sense of if you were to do everything at the DPW location, that's what would happen. You know, we've had some discussions as to can some of this stuff be used or be delayed in the future. We're trying to look at options for this. And then we also, when we get into the City Hall site, we have an option, you know, that takes that into consideration, where we'd maintain some of the existing structures that we have and use some of that as storage right now. So maybe some of these structures don't get built right away. Again, that's something that'll have to be flushed out and decided. But right now, we certainly know that this building here is what we're planning on building or bidding in the spring once we kind of tighten up the location and so forth. So that's been our focus as far as this piece here. And then I actually drop the contingency to 5% on this one, because these buildings are, we like to keep a 10% contingency when we're doing budgeting, but nature of this building being pretty straightforward, I felt comfortable that we could drop the contingency down on there. I plugged in the number that we have in our contract right now for professional fees for this phase, and then the owner costs would really be, you know, furnishings and that sort of thing, that we just wanted to put a line item in there to have a placeholder for that. So again, doing everything on this list, that overall project comes in at about just under $2 million all in. So that's where we are today with that one, and I guess I'd, you know, like to just open it up and have people ask questions or specific.
Got a question on the costing here. You're going from $1,142,140 to $1,764,000. That half a million difference there, is that what you're, does that include the new salt storage and the cold storage both?
Correct. Basically, that column.
But there's no costing on either one of those buildings at this time.
No, there is. That's what, let me pull that up real quick here.
Yeah,
if you look at the line item here that says site work, that's pulling, basically this column right here is all added up to get us down to that $1,970,000 number. So everything that's under this total column, so the new pole building cold storage is $270,000, that's what we have allocated right now. The salt barn would be $87,500 for the structure, and then about $12,500 for demolition. And then as you go down here, this total kind of shows you what the total of all these numbers that make up the operations graph. So I tried to be as clear as possible, but the bottom line is if you look at the column that says total and you add everything down from there, that's where all those numbers ultimately add up to that $1,970,000. And again, I'm trying to be conservative with the numbers that we're using so that we can tighten things up. I think they're realistic numbers though to be considering right now, and I don't know that, I mean, I think like the demolition of the salt barn, for example, that may seem a little bit high, but I think that it certainly would be in that realm of what that might cost in disposing of the material and so forth, so.
Rehab the salt barn, have we dealt with the drainage issues that would be required? Are those factored in someplace?
They would be, I think that would be part of the site work is what we talked about, you know, that they knew that there's going to have to be some isolation and so forth to go along with it. So I would be looking at that to fall into that site work number.
Okay, but that's in here?
Again, I'd put it under site work. And if you look at, you know, this version, for example, as we talked about, you know, site work wise, that number may be a little bit high from the standpoint of, you know, we're going to work on an existing pad. This building stays. If this building happens or doesn't happen, there'd be some site work around that area. But this is the cleanest part of the site here. We're really not having to do, you know, new road and everything else. That road would be improved, I would suspect. And we do have a, you know, this access road that's coming in here. But, you know, there's not a ton of site work. So I'd like to think that as they got into the final design of that location, you know, we would see hopefully a little bit of that tightening up on that specific number. On the first option, again, I'd be more concerned that we'll have a little bit of road work that has to occur to, you know, change kind of the routing and how this all works. But then more of a concern would be what we would really get into when they say likely suitable. It just sort of tells me that we're going to have some subsurface work that's going to need to take place with the foundation in this building or in this area. And one negative thing about this piece is, you know, if we do want to look at expanding in the future, again, the further we got this direction, the more marginal the soils get. So this doesn't leave us maybe with as much opportunity for expansion. I think that it certainly still could be expandable, but I don't think there'd be as much opportunities for expansion or easy opportunity for his expansion as what we'd have here, where that would be very easy to do because that's a pretty clean site moving that way. But the drawback again is the more you would expand to the south, the closer we're going to get to, you know, this conflict or potential perceived conflicts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got another question for you, Ray. When you you were looking at, you know, the site work and everything and the intersection there,
on, at that location or farther down?
Yeah, plan number one. When you were looking at this area here, there's been times where the water's been 5 foot deep in there in the springtime, the snow melt off and stuff like that. I don't know if you've experienced any water when you've seen that there, but I'm wondering, I've seen the water backed up quite a ways through there.
We're trying to avoid that low spot. So what we're talking about where we're building, or where we're suggesting that we might build, was still up on the higher ground essentially. So we would not want to, we know we wouldn't want to get into there. So we were going to avoid that area. I think that there's the potential for water coming across here, and that's, again, would be a concern with this location. So I think the site costs will likely increase with that, with this scenario that we're looking at on the screen right now.
If I may, currently in the spring, in that area in front of there where you've got the little green circle, that's typically especially wet first thing in the spring when things start to melt off. It's pretty mucky back in there. We've had a few people get stuck. We've had to go pull them out with the loader at this point. But again, I mean, is that something we can correct with some subsoil drainage? Possibly. But again, we're looking at some more intensive costs on site plans or site work. So,
and we're not trying to, I mean, we're not at this point, we're not advocating one site over the other. We're just trying to present the facts. Andy, I don't know if you, not to put you on the spot, but do you have a strong opinion between the two?
I have some ideas that, you know, since we've been looking at this again today, that are coming into my head. One would be to actually delete the existing salt building from its current location, move that to where the small old storage building is, slide the DPW building up closer to the new salt shed, or the new storage building location, and just delete that old small storage building. I think with that new building properly, you know, laid out the way it seems like it's going to be, that we could probably get rid of that other space without having any issues. So
with the exist, you're saying get rid of the existing,
get rid of that, move the salt, move the salt barn to that location, get rid of that little building, and we'll just, you know, make the other cold storage building work for everything.
But then we would be looking at more of this, we'd slide it up farther, but still that sort of orientation.
Right, correct. That would just take it farther back into the site and a little bit more toward that back, the hill there in the backside.
What's the life expectancy of that current storage building right there?
The little one?
The little one.
Yes.
It has some issues. I mean, it needs some work. We could do some exterior work to it, but again, it was...
It's strictly a metal building, though, right?
No, that is a it's wood frame construction.
It's wood frame.
Basically, it's 10-foot sidewalls on top of that little knee wall they put in there. That was built by the high school kids way back when, my understanding. Tom, I don't know if you were around back then or not.
That was me, yep.
Hey, I'm surprised it's still standing with Tom involved. But, you know,
so. And Butch was the...
Butch was in charge back then.
Was in charge, so yeah. We built it according to Butch's specs.
Right. No, I mean, it's got a few years left in it, don't get me wrong, but again, I think in the big picture of things, without getting in too heavily into site improvement costs, that would probably be a decent way to go. It gets us farther back on the site. It keeps things, a lot of our activities that are going on with the heavy equipment motorized behind that group of trees, which helps keep the noise down for the local residents also.
Plant more trees.
I got a bunch of questions. Number one, I like the two garage doors instead of 18, because I was kind of thinking each vehicle would have their own garage door. So this, I would think, is much more efficient, cost efficient, and heating efficient. Number two, what's the heating? How are you going to heat that, Ray?
The metal building would be probably radiant. Heating. We were looking at in-floor, we're talking like radiant tube heating,
okay,
is likely what they would do in the metal building piece. And then where the smaller office sort of areas would be, that would probably be a single mini split type of unit that would service that.
Be natural gas.
Mini splits are electric.
Yeah, it's a very efficient, a little electric air-to-air heat pump kind of.
But the big building would be natural gas.
The big building would be natural gas, correct. It'd be probably a gas radiant heat tube type style heaters.
Yeah, much like we have now in the garage.
Yeah.
your 8-foot walls out of cement are pretty inefficient heat-wise. What's your plan on that?
Blue board and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's with your insulation is certainly better above. It is inefficient. It's less efficient, I guess we'll put it that way. We can make it pass code based on the fact that you can get higher insulation on the upper piece of it. We just completed buildings now, but we'd much rather, you know, bring insulation down. It's just a cost issue. This is the most efficient way to construct a large square footage and do it that way. And we looked at possibly having lower sidewalls even, but in discussion, I think that the feeling was that they still like the idea of having an 8-foot wall. Because we could go to, for example, a 4-foot wall and then have that better insulation carry down lower, put a heavier liner panel or some sort on the interior. So there's things that we can do to refine it. But as far as constructability and durability and resiliency and everything, that 8-foot sidewalls probably still our best bet, because you're going to get a fair amount of snow coming off, you know, this long roof here, and it drops down onto the sides. We have no doors or penetrations on those sides, so that's really good. But then we want to just protect against that snow sitting up against the wall, and that concrete block's going to last a lot longer than metal panel will down there. So there's some trade-offs that we have to look at there. And can we do something, you know, as Derek mentioned, maybe bringing more insulation in and building it out? It'll just add a little bit of cost, but we certainly can address that insulation issue.
Cold storage building, so it has no heat. Does it have a slab floor?
I would assume it's a slab floor. I would assume that's a wood, truly a metal pole barn, like you see a lot around, you know, everywhere. It basically, so it'd be a slab floor, wood frame structure, wood trusses, and then sidewall metal. So that one we wouldn't, you know, you could put masonry on around that, but we're thinking that that's just a bare bones, basic, you know, metal building like you see everywhere around. So, and that would keep the cost down to a reasonable cost, you know, on that structure.
I have a question for Andy and Ron. I've heard most of the noise is not the coming and going of the trucks, but it's the, at 4 a.m., the beep, beep, beep of loading the salt truck and sand truck. And is that, you live up there, is that true?
Oh, after 41 years, but I'm used to it. I don't pay much attention to it. It doesn't keep me awake at night.
All right.
Well, it's not going to be any more increase as it is now. I mean,
right,
you're going to load sand, you're going to load sand or salt. Yeah. Still
so
you'll
be doing it no matter what.
Right.
The trucks coming and going are not creating the noise.
We don't do it.
They come and go anyway.
It depends. There's been probably a few times.
We'll
the same. If we got to go in the sand over at that time, we're in. But that is what it is. Today I had a conversation with the resident in that first house. Janet Shepherd came in this evening, this afternoon, and she was saying that, you know, the noise up there is not a bother to her, especially in the wintertime. Houses are closed up. Right now, in fact, her thing with the summer is, you know, Doug's been up there working, piling the salt. She goes, we don't even know he's there. You know, the machines have now gotten quieter than they used to be. That new loader is very quiet. Again, you do get the beep, beep, beep from the backups, but I think after a number of years, she's probably used to it. But she seemed to think that, you know, like my idea now of sliding that building far, a little bit farther back on the site than we had originally talked about would be a good thing, and she didn't have a problem. She thought it was actually a very nice addition to the area, better than what she's looking at right now.
Can I ask what the comparison for the square footage is that exists right now versus the new main building plus the cold storage building? How much of an increase is this?
We're talking about the existing garage that's right here. That one, I have to bear with me for a second. I'm going to jump back to
I just want to see how much bigger this is and if there's anywhere we could maybe tweak it a little. That is quite an increase, isn't it, Andy?
No, not really.
From what we have existing? But the
Again, we have stuff stored all over town.
Well, that's true. That's true. But
and we've cut down the amount of heated square footage by quite a large amount from the original when we first started, you know, a couple years ago.
20-some thousand?
Yeah, it was like 25,000 in the first facility study. which I knew was way too much. I cut it back to like 18 or 20 or 18,500 or 20,000.
So you're looking.
I think Ray's first conception was about 20, wasn't it?
Right. Well, but again, we're pulling stuff out now for a separate cold storage building that's really going to help with that.
So we're looking about 18,000 here existing, and then
the existing is 14,000, or I'm sorry, 14,711 square feet is what the existing.
So this is only about 4,000 square feet
and
more.
That includes the fire department, though, too, right?
Right. Yeah, we're a little bit under 10,000 square foot.
DPW has the total square footage that DPW currently has is 9,679 square feet.
Which
so it's about
just at this site right here. That's not taking into consideration the other
places. Some of that shared space comes into play too. So I think we're probably about 11,000, if I had to really be honest with you, right? Mm-hmm. For what we have in there, you know. Because we have areas that we share with the police department for different things too. So
sure.
That being said, I don't think we're really increasing our warm space by that much. But again, it gets all of our vehicles. We need to have warm. Or should have warm in a warm storage area in that area. So.
And the other question on the new cold storage building, how do you enter and come out of that one? Are there multiple doors, or is it on each end, or?
At this point, to be honest, we just put a placeholder in there. We really haven't figured it out. In the orientation that it's in, it would probably be a series of doors that are on this. You know, we were showing it as a series of doors on this face right here. Whether that was the case or not, that has to be determined. But right now, we didn't really program that space because we don't know where it's going to sit on the site. We just said, we know, based on what we've talked about, that we want to maintain, or we want to indicate about 6,000 square feet, and that's where we came up with, you know, this. And so this just shows it at that location. But that would be refined and tightened up once we determine exactly where we're going to go with this.
Now, do you have that building programmed as a 6,000 square foot building, just that one building?
This is 6,000 square feet. And that's what the placeholder is, and it can be smaller. I mean, the key thing with the pole building is that the width is what the driver is on that. I mean, at one point we were actually trying to see if we couldn't make this building work as a pole building, and it just got too wide that it doesn't become practical. It fell more in the realm of the steel pre-engineered metal building, so.
Well, with Andy's suggestion of rebuilding the salt barn and the location where the little storage building is right now, currently you offload your bulk materials from the hillside.
For the gravel, we have been, correct.
Yeah. So
that's just because it was
easier. Moving that, if you had the salt barn on the north side of the cold storage building, you'd have access like that for dropping your materials from the upper hill there, because you could cut into that a little further.
Ron, you're talking up here, Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that there also.
Yeah.
But the problem is you start running back into those unstable soils. That's where the original location for this building was kind of, we talked about up here.
Right.
But we basically looked at these other two options because the soils there were just so bad.
And there's a huge stump.
And you'd have to put in some huge piles and stuff like that, and it was just cost prohibitive.
Right. Can we dump our materials off that hill back there if we want to continue doing that? Yes, we could. The main reason we've been doing it.
Would you want the salt barn building up there? I guess.
Well, no, the salt barn building where the little storage garage is right now. Yeah.
I know Ron was suggesting something else.
Okay, sorry.
No, I was suggesting it be directly north of the cold storage building.
Like right in there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that probably wouldn't be a good place. That's my understanding. It's pretty much where the boat's buried back there.
What?
A boat is buried back in.
Oh.
Yes.
That's, I mean.
Noah's Ark.
The further we moved to the north, that was where there was stumps dumped in there. There's just a lot of stuff back in there. And again, you guys did some testing.
That was some pretty very heavy fill areas back there. There was all sorts of different things. Wood chunks that were breaking down. There was old pieces of metal, concrete. Yeah, you name it, plastics. We ran into a good amount of stuff.
Our original idea was that we really wanted to try to get the cold storage building up at the top of the hill where that little triangle is, and then put the DPW building down in this location. That's where when we kind of really set out to do this, that's what our ultimate goal was. And then in the site exploration, that's where we kind of had to back it off to the two locations that we're talking about now.
How is the soil to the right of the pole barn building?
like right up in here?
No, down to the main building.
Down this area?
Yeah, if you reconfigured the cold storage building and put it like at a right angle to that building that goes the other way, or something, how are the soils in that area where you could bump everything up then?
The soils were fine up in here. So where the existing was and where the existing is and everything to the south of that was the area that they said was likely suitable. So I think we're comfortable that we have some flexibility, especially if that building was to move out. You know, we can push and pull.
Right.
And actually, from the plan you're looking at to what you're looking at here, you know, we mirrored the plan and everything else. So we have the opportunity to flip-flop and put the offices on this side or those spaces there. So we have some ability to play with that. But yeah, as far as like turning buildings,
rotating that sideways and bringing it more, you know, closer together in relationship with the main building and then moving everything up.
Right. Yeah, I think our next step will be, what we're hoping to, you know, get out of today's work session is just some direction or consensus where people think that we should be pursuing, and then we'll start pushing and pulling things, working with Andy to figure out what makes the most sense from an operational standpoint.
Is that blacktop, the site plan?
No, I mean, this is all just showing the gravel.
Gravel.
Yeah.
One thing we did notice when we were doing the test digs, if you look at where the existing fence is, that's around the yard itself right now as it stands, pretty much outside that fence is where things really started getting bad soils-wise. The area inside the fence still seemed to be pretty good soils. Digs we did inside there, one was right actually on the, I guess I call it the east side of the existing storage building, about halfway to the back of that site. And did you copy that drawing that Larry sent you on here with the dig locations we did?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find. I have it here.
Yeah, once we got outside the fenced area, other than the area to the south, which seemed like it was all natural soils back there that where he's got labeled as a suitable area, that was all native soils. The likely area was soils that didn't seem to be too disturbed, and they weren't that bad in nature. They said our dig depth down to about 8 to 9 feet. But basically outside that fenced in areas where things really started going bad.
So all these little red numbers are where they did test pit spaces.
Test digs.
Yeah. And again, it wasn't true soil borings where people were doing the engineering. It was more digging and visual. Was C2A?
Yeah, Larry Fox and myself were there. Darcy from my crew was there.
So these locations are visual inspection.
But when you say digging, you took the backhoe.
We took the backhoe and just basically did some backhoe cuts down, and you know, watched the dirt coming out, and you know, grabbed it and felt it, and you could tell clayey soils from sandy soils, and you could see obviously the materials, and you could smell in some of the areas the decomposing materials that are in that soil too. So.
Well, years ago, that was a bigger dip down through there, and we sort of filled it in like we did up on top on Robinson Street up there, or on
where the dog park
is. We filled it up and pushed it in. We would fill that in, and then we got so far, and that's when we started going on top.
So Ray, what was your comment with regards to the drive materials? Gravel?
I think that the plan was to keep the gravel roads in place and everything at this point. I think we know that
we're build out, would they be paved at the end or not?
Again, this has to be determined.
Okay, I mean, because it's a city requirement that we have everybody pave their driveways.
So
the city standard that we call everybody else to do is to pave.
So you're expecting, we wouldn't.
Not an interior, no.
But you're saying these drives would be, you would suspect that you want those paved then? They're currently not paved, I don't believe.
No, I know they're not, yeah.
Okay. And that's something, Larry did the cost estimate for the site. I'll have to double check what he included in there, Mike, on that. But, and again, as we refine that, we'll have to work out the pricing on that. I think the $252 seemed pretty reasonable to me for what we're talking about still. It doesn't seem woefully low or anything along those lines, and I believe that it would still fit inside there. I mean, we talked about having to do some containment and so forth for the salt farm, which you don't have right now, so there's some improvements that were going to happen in rebuilding that salt barn?
I know when we did the wastewater treatment plant, that's all paved, and that makes a huge difference in regards to how they can keep their equipment and their facilities up there. And I would think that that should be paved. I'm not saying that we pave all this white area or something like that, but I'm thinking some key areas around the building.
The high traffic areas, correct.
I also have another question, if I may. What's the reason for having the office facing away from the drive? Let's say if somebody wants to go visit up there, I mean, stop. It's on the opposite side. Why not have the wash bay as a drive-through on the other side?
It's there in the front.
I said the plan.
Oh, is it backwards?
We flipped the plan.
I'm looking at this one.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't match.
No, his site plan.
It just doesn't seem to.
On the site plan, we flipped it to make more sense of that. So where you'd be looking at is.
So visitor parking would be here.
Exactly.
And then come in that way.
And that's what that little walkway there was.
Yeah, I'm looking at this one.
They don't match.
Yeah, they don't. Okay, thank you.
That's why I'm saying that it's flexible once we determine the site. The plan is the same, just mirrored over 180 degrees.
Sure.
In both cases, that's what we were looking at, is we were, you know, showing the office areas being the first thing you see, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have any cost guesstimate as the differential between those two sites with regards to the soils work?
Until we actually did soil exploration, you really don't know what you're dealing with. So what'll happen is once we pick a site, they would do soil borings, and then from those soil borings, they would give you recommendations on whether you needed a deep foundation system being like a pile,
right,
or if you could excavate and do a shallow being just a, you know, a traditional strip footing type of thing. So without that engineering piece done, and it just doesn't make sense to do that engineering on all parts of the site unless, you know, the
I like Andy's idea with regards to sliding this further away as an alternative to explore, depending on where you put these other buildings. Because this one, it needs to be replaced.
You'd have to leave enough room at the end. You couldn't butt it, obviously, right up close. You still got vehicle.
Yeah.
Correct.
Trail through. And
but I think, as Laura mentioned, you could, you know, this building can be rotated pretty easily and that sort of thing. So I think, you know, again, we just want to say if that's the direction we're going to pursue, we want to pursue one direction at this point, not two different site locations if possible. If we want to do export site or soil borings for more areas, we can, but if we're not really thinking that it makes sense to do it up in the version one, for example, then I wouldn't want to waste the resources of doing soil borings up here. But they're beneficial to have for future use and everything else. I mean, it'll pretty much tell you what you have down 30 feet or whatever. So
can you go to the other concept, please, for a second? So Andy, where were you looking at the salt barn building?
Where the little building is right there.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering too, and I don't know, I don't have much experience with these type buildings, but the fabric span type buildings, Ray, have you seen any of those?
I've seen them, we've not done them, but I have seen those fabric salt barn structures, and we can look at that,
right,
you know, as a
cost saving.
Yeah.
Explore that. But I was somewhere recently where I saw one of those, and it looked like it was.
I mean, I know a guy who has basically a barn that's built that way. It's got the steel arch type span, and it's got the heavy covering over the top, and it's been up there for 15 years, and it looks fantastic still. So
I think the issue is salt and metal don't mix.
Corrosion factors, yeah. Right.
I mean, so typically you're doing it out of wood just because from a long-term durability standpoint,
correct,
you're not going to run into corrosion. But
Dennis, didn't you, early on when we were discussing this, say that there are, you know, salt barns that have that configuration?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what Andy was talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever they're using for the brace material is obviously working, right?
I'm not sure if I never went in them. I've seen it from the roads, like you said.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, they did a lot of it.
And the UP in Canada, again.
We can do some research and come back and find out what we can find out on that. Because I'm sure Larry's got some maybe ideas or seen them, so we can talk to our structural people too and see what they can. But I think it's certainly worth researching to see what our options are there.
I guess I'm of the mind if the current cold storage building, even the little one, is worth saving wouldn't that be wise to keep it? Wouldn't that be usable at times for various things? Could that, like, just store the small things, like the...
How many square feet is that building, do we know?
Yeah, it's really...
1,200 square feet. It's not a very large...
It's 30 by 40.
Right, and around the storage.
But as for storing odds and ends or things that need to be, you know?
I think personally, at 6,000 square feet, we'll have an ample cold storage area with it, you know, with that building there. Could we cut that back?
That's your point.
Utilize that, sure, we could.
Build 5,000 square feet.
Right.
Right, but again, we need to, I mean, in my mind, we need to think about relocating that salt barn from its current location. And that would be the spot for it. In my thought process, how the site lays out and how traffic flows through there, that would probably be a better spot for the salt barn than the location where it's sitting right now. Especially if we decided we wanted to pull that building back up and in over there.
Well, the salt barn moved up to where you have the cold storage building at that end. Take that cold storage building and flip it at a right angle to the main building. Then you have like a big square open lot, you still keep your old cold storage building as well.
We'd probably try and put that on paper and see how it flowed.
It's just extra space for the future if you needed it for whatever. I mean, if it's in good enough shape to last for a while, you know, why spend...
Yeah, I mean, it does have some issues, but again, I don't think they're super critical. There's some issues with the foundation, starting to get some cracking and stuff in it, but again, nothing major that...
Right, and with the cold storage, it's fine.
Couldn't be saved for a while, but...
Tear it down some other day, yeah.
Yeah, to me, it seems like you're talking about moving that, the main barn storage area up. And if you have everything like an actual sort of, you've got some green space there that could be taken away on that end and create more of a central hub. So, you know, the doors going to the cold storage face to the middle, you know, the salt barn faces to the middle, the exit faces, and you have room to move all the equipment around within there, so it's not obviously bumping in. To me, that seems like more logical layout, however.
Yeah, I mean, if we could visualize that, that'd be an awesome thing.
Yeah, right.
I think they could be kind of more squared up, you know, more of a circular kind of setup.
Space in the middle.
Kind of thing, so you have the space in the middle that would then accommodate.
Right.
Yeah, that could be that.
I hesitate, it's hard to do it, but I mean, I could do it if I had 20 minutes, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, you come back and where you got grass and trees, and so there's more than...
Right.
But the idea that that building potentially goes here, we can look at that. I mean, I think that that building for cold storage is certainly not a bad, I mean, it is what it is, it's just a, it's 1,200 square feet that costs money to build.
Right.
The bottom line is that do you figure out the whole orientation of the site based on the existing 1,200 square foot building? That's where you gotta be careful. From a cost standpoint, it absolutely makes sense to save it, but if it's gonna affect the whole design of the site for them, then it may not make sense. That's where we just wanna not be penny wise and pound foolish as far as...
And yes, you would be building it around it, obviously.
Yeah, you'd have to. So, but as far as like for cold storage, I wouldn't, that building didn't look like it needed to be torn down, and our structural engineer looked at it, and it's certainly suitable for cold storage, so...
I mean, does that one need a new roof, or have you put a new roof?
No, that's gonna need a new roof.
Yeah, because that one's looking, the roof's on is looking pretty rough, but that's maintenance type stuff.
Yeah.
Generally, what I'm hearing so far is kind of...
This location.
Take this option and see how far we can slide it and how we reconfigure the rest of these buildings to make them work. Potentially start saving that existing...
I personally don't think it makes any sense to move it in the first drawing, because you're cutting into the current yard where, you know, the recycler, the compost section, the soils are worse.
And then you have...
Any money we can save on site work is...
Yeah, work in this one, yeah, you definitely could.
And then you have to do something with the compost yard, too.
Yeah.
That was the other discussion, is that where does, I mean, ultimately, if you take space out of there, that's gotta move somewhere, too, so that was...
This doesn't have a good flow for the public coming in and dropping stuff off.
Okay, so...
So Ray and the staff are looking for direction, informal direction. I mean, we're not taking any actions at this point, but to go further and refine some stuff. And it's looking like, take this option and refine it, and the big player is where can we put the salt barn to make some of this other stuff work?
Well, it seems to me to make the most sense, option two.
And I have one other question, I need to do this, but on the existing salt barn, is there going to be an issue of cleanup from the salt there? Like, if we move this to a different location, is there going to be an issue?
We talked about the fact that we need to do proper containment on the new barn that we build.
Right.
This one doesn't have that, so there probably will be some remediation of, you know, digging out some soil basically at that location. But if we're putting, you know, if we're talking about siding this building up on top of that, that may be part of the remediation. And there's obviously going to be a lot of site work involved with this structure. So in the process of doing that, I don't know that there'll be any extraordinary type of cost to do it, so.
Yeah, I was just wondering how much.
If we have to take the soils out, basically figure you got some pre-mix to distribute on the roads next winter.
True.
That was going to be my comment.
That's basically what you got.
Sand and salt mix.
Exactly. Very compacted.
Yeah, okay.
There's probably a good foot of salt, sand, just packed down into that soil.
Right, okay. I was just wondering how much more of an ordeal that might be.
Well, we need to take it out to put the footings in and it's going to be good.
But that building is living on borrowed time. It has some issues. I think it, you know, it's not built to today's standards.
That one is structurally deficient. I mean, it looks like.
And I think when we start doing other stuff here, you know,
yeah,
I don't think we're gonna, I don't know if we'll have an option on to whether we can hold off on the salt.
Right.
Yeah, the engineer.
No, that needs to be done.
Yeah. Okay.
He was uncomfortable looking at that building. You know, it's kind of like there's walls going and his truss got broken and things like that. So he made me go in and take pictures for him. Okay.
Andy, did you want to talk at all about how you laid out the building with the square footage and you basically placed every vehicle? Because I know you spent a lot of time working on that to make sure that, you know, we weren't overspacing, but that we weren't underspacing too.
Right, and that's what I tried to do. We took all of our existing equipment that we use year-round.
And they're all labeled here, aren't they?
Yeah, I had them pretty much all. I think we're missing one truck on there still. We're missing
this has
one
two
truck.
Open bays right now.
Yeah, there should be one more vehicle in there. There should be one open bay on that end. So there's one vehicle missing in there, and I can't remember. I can't really read it, but I need glasses.
One dump truck's missing.
Yeah, one dump truck is missing. That's what it was. Thanks, Denny. So, yeah, we've got one bay basically left on this drawing.
So we got a dump truck in bay 17?
Yep. Should be one of our big dump trucks.
How many ton vehicles is that?
5 yards.
5 yards.
Oh, 5 yards. Okay, 5 yards.
One of our big dumps. Correct.
Okay.
So, I mean, and basically we laid it out as, okay, here's how we utilize this piece of equipment on a year-round basis. And my original one I had, for instance, like Dennis's dump truck, in the summertime it's just a dump. But in the wintertime, it's a dump with a big front plow on the front. So that space was labeled accordingly for each seasonal use. So
that'd be on the top side because it's longer?
Right, correct. So basically, we proofed it all out as to all the equipment that we use on a year-round basis that we need to keep in there where it's warm. You know, like our zero-turn mower, for instance, that we don't use in wintertime, well, that gets scooted off for the winter to the cold storage building. So basically, this was all proved out for the equipment that we'd use on a year-round basis with its, you know, whatever use it has at that point in time, whether it's got a mower or a blower on it or whatever, in those spaces. And the ancillary equipment not being used at a particular season is, you know, pushed off into the cold storage building and put away out of the weather.
What was the cost to heat this? Putting all the radiant heat and everything?
We haven't run those numbers yet.
Not how much of the cost. The equipment to put in for the build.
Oh, when I talked
to heat this whole building.
The mechanical cost, we had approximately $300,000 for all the equipment. That's probably, again, that could be a little bit high depending on what kind of ventilation and everything we have in there too. So, but that's, I talked to D&W Mechanical and they do a variety of things, so they actually gave us some budget numbers to plug in there for square foot costs. So. And one of the things, I know it probably sounds a little bit high, that number, but it's probably not that far off. One thing you gotta remember now, there's new standards in construction since this old building was built. Now there has to be an interlock system for ventilation that when the door is open, that interlock turns on the ventilation so you have airflow through the building while vehicles are running.
So. Right. So.
And that's an expensive proposition.
So there'd be CO2 sensors. I mean, there's definitely ventilation aspects to this. And we're not, I mean, really the parts that would be heated on the smaller type unit would really be this little core right here, and we're assuming that we'd put anything on the rooftop there that needed to go with that, so mechanically. There's still refinement to do. I want to make sure. I mean, again, we're stepping through the steps, but there's we've got a lot of, you know, that next level detail. And I think we're getting pretty close to the plan now, being what we want. So now we'll start getting into the mechanical design and all that sort of thing with this as well. So
we want decent heating, because when you get done plowing, the snow trucks are full of snow, and there's times sometimes we get in there and it isn't melted off yet in the morning.
What do you keep that, the current garage set at right now with the radiant heating? 55 probably?
It's probably higher than that in the winter.
Really?
Keep it to melt the snow off.
Yeah. I mean, if we're in
a, because it's not a very efficient building.
If we're in a period of time that we're not getting a lot of snow and, you know, things have tailed off, we'll cut it back to 60, 62. But, you know, we got to try and get those trucks melted off between the time we get done, the time we start, or else they'll ice up on us.
What's the County Road Commission? What do they run there? It's the same design over there.
I don't know.
If you could look into that, I'd like to know what the comparables are, how they're doing it, time to melt,
temperatures,
what are they running, temperatures.
The good thing with the radiant heat is it's melting objects, it's not heating air.
Right.
So, I mean, you're really, truly, it's heating vehicles. So
yeah, you're only heating what needs to be heated with every temperature heat. That's correct.
It's helpful.
And we at one point had a line item number for a radiant and floor heat, but that's just, it would be cost prohibitive. I mean, it's really a nice thing, but it's
unless you want to donate it, right?
I don't want to donate it. That's why I took it off the list. So
one thing that could be said for a system like that, you know, we end up with this big, huge pile of brush up there every year. If we went to like a wood burning type of thing. Again, I'm not sure if we'd even be able to, as far as the DEQ goes now. Because the size would have to be to heat a structure like this, that would be something that, you know, could possibly bear some looking into. You know, instead of us having to pay someone to chip this brush up, you know, we just whack it and burn it. But again, I'm not sure if we'd be allowed to do that by the DEQ and stuff like that. It could be worth looking into, but sustainable type of you know, burning it generates basically. Yeah. Could the cost savings make up for that?
Do you consider solar at all?
We haven't got to that point yet.
When we were looking at one of the original configuration of the building, kind of at an angle and where it was, we were looking at, and when we were up on the site, we're looking at, you know, this, getting the southern sun and all that type of stuff in regards to it.
It is pretty open there.
Yeah.
And actually what we're finding too is that more and more people are, if you do go to solar, they're going to ground mounted so that you can actually go out there and brush the panels off and everything else, which you could do. You know, if you wanted to do ground-mounted solar, you could do it, you know, up in a spot like that would be a perfect place to do it. So that's somewhere around there. So that, there's options for that. You know, again, as we get continue to refine costs, that might be something that we want to look at. But I think that, you know, if we do an air-to-air heat pump type of unit for the smaller office area, those are pretty efficient to begin with. So.
Okay.
Does the cold storage building, I didn't notice, does that have like translucent panels near the top so you wouldn't have to run the lights during the day?
What we've been doing is actually those solar tubes. We've done that in a couple of facilities, and it's pretty amazing. So I think, and to add those in, the cost is pretty, that's a pretty good payback. Yeah, so I mean, that really makes a huge difference. And so doing something like that would be probably a good idea. And they're just, they're like those ground residential ones, but they're just bigger. And we have a facility right now that we used them in, and it's amazing. You probably wouldn't have to run lighting. So, and then we've got LED lighting now options that are becoming more accessible. So really, operational costs are getting better. Even on the metal building, there's better insulation systems that we're doing. We just finished a giant metal building for the YMCA Traverse City, and the guys that were putting that up were like, what are you going to do? You put with a candle, and we put so much more insulation than what they'd seen in a lot of metal buildings. And the bottom line is, you end up with a lot less melting, sliding, just different things. You know, not the big, giant icicles on the sides and everything that you've seen in these types of buildings.
It makes more sense to, back to Tom's point, put more money in insulation and save natural gas. I mean, that's where the money should be spent.
Right. Mm-hmm. But again, we're trying not to heat the air. So I mean, I certainly want to be as efficient as we can,
sure.
But if we do a mechanical system that's not heating the air, because it's a pretty big volume building, so. But I think that the solar tubes is a great, you know, thing to put in there for.
And actually, even in the garage part itself,
those
solar tubes can come down through an insulated space. So, I've seen them used that way quite a bit in houses.
No, that's what we're
talking about. I thought you were talking about the coal storage building.
No, well, I was.
He was.
I'm talking about the garage too, because the one that we did it in is a giant metal building that was, it used to be the ice arena, and they redid the roof, they put those in there, and it's a warehouse space, but it's amazing how much light you get out of these things. It's amazing. So, no, I would do it for both locations.
Okay.
Ray, is there a potential to look at the concrete base of the main pole build, or the main steel structure building?
Yeah, this show, Andy was saying that for future, but really, if you're not going to do this for 30 years, the cost to take that little wall, sectional wall down would not be, there's not that great of a saving. So I think that I'd probably, we're not assuming we're going to do an addition here in, I would assume, 20, 30 years, so.
The point I was going to get at with these sidewalls here, like how did Somerset Point, they use that, and I've seen it a lot on residential
field
construction now. Well, I was thinking of where the styrofoam, and they pour the
modular block, right?
Yeah, the modular block.
Insulated concrete.
Yes, I mean, is that a viable option or a cost-effective one?
I don't think it would be cost-effective from the standpoint of, you don't, when you do that, the beauty of those things are, is you get insulation structure. We don't need structure. The metal building's your structure.
Okay.
So I think it would be more, I love using those, and we use them quite a bit, actually. But I don't think it would be, it might be smarter to use those on the, instead of using concrete block,
right.
I could see maybe looking at using those in this area here.
Okay.
But I mean, they're not as inexpensive as doing concrete block and framing and putting, you know, furring it out and putting insulation in there, so.
I just didn't know which was the most economical, both initial and long-term, when you factor both in together.
I think it's a neat idea, but I don't think it makes sense here.
Okay.
Because we wouldn't use it structurally. That's where you get the benefit with those things, so.
Yeah, those are great for basements, but,
Well, residentially speaking, mm-hmm. they make sense. I don't know about commercial.
Well, again,
because I've done 20 some homes with them.
Yeah, if you bear on them, they're great. That's what I'm saying. You've got that solid concrete mass inside that you can actually put wood trusses and floors and everything else on.
Yeah.
So we did the 25,000 square foot building, the health department in Traverse City. We did it all insulated concrete for them, but they were bearing walls, and then we were putting drywall right onto it or whatever material you want to put on the inside.
You were heating the air on the inside too?
But the bottom line is, all I'm trying to get at is the structure, they do nothing for us structurally,
mm-hmm, right.
And that's where we don't get the double dip of savings, because we wouldn't need it structurally. It'd strictly be, in other words, we'd be more better off just putting rigid insulation on there and doing it that way.
All right.
So.
Anything else on this one at this
point?
Yeah,
I have one other question. What's the height of the building, the main building?
Right now, the end walls were showing at 16 feet.
And the peak?
Yeah, 16 feet to the end walls, and the peak would be, as shown, is about 25 feet or so.
And it has to be that high, or?
We might be able to bring the end walls down a little bit. I think that's a place where we can maybe bring it down a touch, but it'll probably be about that scale. We have to keep.
Yeah, you got a 14-foot scale. 14-foot
door. One of the things too, in the winter time,
a certain pitch.
Right. Okay.
We, a lot of times we need to make sure our trucks are tipped up so we can get them drained out well.
Okay.
You know, they don't have to be super up high.
Okay. I was just,
we just
got to
be conscious of that.
Necessary.
Of that also.
Mm. It's not really a view of trucks then.
Yeah, we're hauling snow, we like to get them up in the air so the water drains out and dry. Otherwise, they freeze right off the back.
Yeah, I was just curious about the height, relationship and heating that kind of a space. If there's any way to.
What type of picture are you showing on the roof? Excuse me.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
It'll probably be like a 112 or 212. No more than 212, but I think it's a 112 is what we have on there. Mm-hmm.
It's more shallow even than the terminal building at the airport.
Okay. Just a curiosity question.
Good question.
Yeah.
Should we move on? Because we still have a lot to cover on this site.
Yeah.
Unless anybody has any more questions.
Let's come back. See what thinks of something.
Okay. All right. So moving to this site, what we're looking at is. There's two approaches that we looked at. So when we originally got our marching orders here, the idea was do what we need to do over at North Boyd and then see what we can do at this location and not take it all away. So what we're going to look at is the, what we did on this site is we called it phase one and phase two. So phase one is, actually I don't want to go that drawing yet. Phase one is,
let's see, I just passed it.
You guys come up here.
So phase one is looking at maintaining a good portion of City Hall, maintaining the existing fire barn, maintaining all the existing parking, and putting only the emergency service fire bay section of the new building, basically is what we talked about. There would be some rework of the this little drop-off area here, and whether we keep this parking or not, or make that go to green space, you know, that's a detail that we would develop. But the bottom line is, it's essentially trying to keep as much of City Hall intact as we can. So our idea with that would be to here. So we're going to look at, so what we're looking at with City Hall is essentially demoing, and this is going to be a little bit hard to read because of the colors you use, but let me zoom in here. So you can see this is the auditorium.
Where we are.
Where we are now. The entry, the hallway, the ramp area, and then this is the storage room, planning office, and these are actually, this whole little wing is planning office. So what we're talking about doing is removing the planning offices, the storage, and the auditorium, and then this kind of conglomeration of corridor and ramp and so forth. This big dark line right here represents what's happening with the new building, you know, how that would fit in the next phase, but what we could put in. So there'd be, it'd be wedged in there pretty good, and I'll go to the 3D in a second, but we think it works and allows essentially this building to remain intact. So we're not touching MSU, we're not touching bathrooms, we're leaving this north conference room intact, we're leaving the
old commission
chambers intact. Police does not change at this point. The only thing we would really be looking at doing here is adding a wall to create an office here. And then we talked about moving Scott into where that conference room is right now. So you'd lose that conference room, but with Andy moving out, you'd pick up Andy's office as a space that, you know, doesn't exist right now. And then really the museum and everything else, you know, we're showing literally all these offices as is. So again, the only difference is really we're building a wall there, and then we would have kind of where this double line happens here, we've got it called out on our drawings, is that we want to do some temporary kind of work to the, you know, we have to do some temporary work because we're demoing this area here, and there's going to be work that needs to be done to button that up. But the bottom line is that we're leaving that all intact, and then going back to our site plan.
So basically that wall in the back there would become our exterior wall.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then the thought with this is, and the reason that we just, I want to throw it out there because it's the thinking that we're doing is that, you know, this existing fire barn would remain, and that could be used for some of the fire equipment, because what we're suggesting is a potential for a shared situation on a temporary basis for EMS and fire. So a way to bring EMS over here. The bottom line is we don't want to put any money into this building here. We don't want to put any, if we try to move EMS and put them in this building to get the living quarters, the bathrooms and everything up to snuff, it'd be a waste of money. So we really want to use this for storage.
And also
vehicles.
No, well, the big thing I keep thinking of is the emergency generator and our electrical systems all flow through there. Mm-hmm. And if we leave it there until we're ready to do everything, we can still make sure we have battery or power backup for all the services here.
So we looked at the floor plan for what's existing, and I just want to jump to the floor plan for what we're calling the fire garage portion of the building right now, and I'll show you the 3D in a second, but this drawing kind of illustrates what would be a temporary basis in, I know that's a dangerous thing as far as, we don't want to create something that people want to live with for a long period of time. It's not really what we're trying to do here. We're trying to come up with a solution that might work. So what we were looking at is we took the, what in the future would be the entire fire apparatus bay, and then you can see how we were, where the orange is, we're saying that's where you could fit some EMS vehicles. One thing we did talk about is the opportunity that we might want to add some storage on here if we were going to go this route, so that there would be potentially office and specific storage for EMS that's currently not shown. And then we'll look at the second phase plan, but this was the training room for the fire department, and what we did in the first phase, since we have an exterior wall here, we're really showing that being the EMS day room, bunk rooms, kitchen area, and so forth. There's bathrooms with showers up in this location, and then we had the decon room that would be shared for both. And then we're still showing the fire turnout gear happening here. We still have that little piece of the LaFrance here, the drying apparatus, and then the hose tower happening here. So this was really trying to take what we're going to do in the future and build only a piece of it. The discussion was also that from about this point back all the way around, that would be not be the brick veneer, that wouldn't be the fully finished finish, because we don't want to build a brick facade that we're going to cover up at some point in time in the future. So the idea with this was is to keep that as, for lack of a better term, a throwaway facade, that it still wants to look nice, but it would be something that would be sacrificed and changed in the future once we put that addition on. So that's kind of what we're looking at here, and you can look closer and see what the square footage breakdown is.
What's your depth in the bays?
The entire depth across the bays is
the width of where, you know, from door to door.
From this point to this point, I'm going to go to the another drawing.
Okay.
And I'm going to, just to give people an idea of what how this thing looks to.
Because I'm looking at this, and it's hard to read your measurements, but I don't.
Yep. Give me 1 second here. So in phase two, I just want to show you this. We have basically all this would go to fire, all this orange goes to EMS, and then we'll look at that plan. But the bottom line is, from the future use, we have 62 feet. Is what we had door to door there.
You have a 60-foot aerial truck?
I don't think
we have an aerial.
Well, we can.
Oh, 42.
Yeah, 42 to 45, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was 40, 46, I thought.
Maybe 40. Train the 40 range.
And if what we're showing is, it's hard to see in the drawing, but we were showing the boxes in there. Yeah. So the bottom line is this, in the future phase, this really doesn't change the use with the bathrooms. What, where we were showing all that bunk room and so forth happening, that would be, again, like construction that would ultimately go back to be training room and kitchen area for the fire department. The France piece doesn't change. The apparatus bay is really a big open space, so whether we have three EMS vehicles or three fire vehicles in there, that's so the neat thing about this idea was it really worked pretty well to be a phase one type of situation and then grow into the bigger plan. Looking at the 3D of this site, so this is what we have existing, and then this is what we'd be looking at phase one. So the idea was that you have a pretty nice building happening on Lake Street as phase one that stands alone pretty well in its own right. And then when we go to phase two, where we build out the full situation, then it certainly works. But again, looking at it from the standpoint of phase one, and the thing that we, where we would save a lot of site work is that we're not doing, you know, the site work where we're trying to use all the existing parking areas and everything around the building. You do have the existing city hall behind, which is a little bit, you know, less desirable obviously than building out. We're still keeping this structure in place. So this is that wall I was talking about, where we'd be putting metal panel or something on there as opposed to brick, from a cost standpoint, first phase. And then this is the wall that I was talking about, oops, on City Hall, where we're gonna have to do some temporary work to patch that up for as an interim solution. So I think that the looking at the cost estimates on this, again, it's something that you wanna take a harder look at, but on the second page of your cost estimate sheets is you know, you'll see the breakdown of what the cost. And what we did is, when you look at the comparison between phase one and phase two, there was a, you know, significant decrease in site work on this option than what we're going to get when we go on with the full future sort of options. So that's something that I just wanted to point out to pay attention to. But in general, the cost of doing what we're showing in this scheme is going to be about $2 million. We had about $2 million at DPW. So doing the math, you know, you're looking at, this is still a $4 million project to do this kind of halfway situation, and it is what it is. So we're just trying to be realistic and put, you know, realistic costs on there as far as what happens. So it doesn't get us to what, when we talked last time, which we were hoping to get DPW less than a million, and
right.
You know, what can we do with this building? And it's just to do what we want to do. It's
so you're
not,
talking a $7 million project here?
No, we're talking for phase one and phase two.
Okay.
For phase one at this site, plus DPW is about $4 million.
Right. What about phase two of the City Hall added on?
If you, so what I did with that is there's two more sheets at the end of your cost right. analysis there. So if you look at the top, one says phase two after phase one. So that means that...
Do you see the lights for right now? Look, or
oh, I'm good on this. I don't want somebody else to know.
So when you look at your top, the third sheet, the very top, says phase two after phase one. So you're adding... you know, more site work. It's like the incremental piece, whereas, and then I did a standalone piece, if you just do the whole thing as a standalone piece. So if you were to do it as a standalone piece, no matter how you slice it, yes, it's $7 million mm-hmm. to do all the stuff that we're talking about, mm-hmm. all the way planned out for it. So
5.3 plus almost 2 for the first phase of the fire and ambulance, you're looking at 6.7. He lies in the existing building, right?
You're looking at, so DPW, let's just call it $2 million right now. As it
right.
If you do phase one, you're looking at another $2 million, and then you do, you build the addition on and go from here to here, and that's another, you know, almost $5.5 million. So the overall project for everything all in is, you know, upwards of $9 million.
Yeah, including DPW. Right.
Including DPW. Yeah. If you were to, all I was trying to illustrate is that if you didn't do phase one City Hall and you didn't do the phase two afterwards, you know, the cost is pretty comparable. It was about $7.5 million in this one. You save about $500,000, I guess, is what I was coming up with.
Doing it in phases?
By not doing it in phases.
Oh, by not doing it.
Yeah, you're adding $500,000 to the project right. by doing it in phases, because you have to do work for this building, you're going to have some work to do right. to the barn next door, you've got, so the bottom line is, I think it's about $500,000 savings if you just did everything across the board right now and said, we're going to build a new building, but there's, we haven't got into the, you know, looking at what do you do with moving people out of here and all that kind of thing. I mean, the thought was, you know, our thought was if we went with this phased approach where we did this kind of thing, that we probably wouldn't be building the cold storage building right now, because that's what you're using this existing facility here for. You're going to keep some of your fire apparatus in this structure right now, because we're trying to share some of that space with EMS right now. So what it did though is it got EMS off the site that they're at now
yes.
and brought them to this site.
Right.
So we have to, you know, there's pros and cons to all this. The negative is that, you know, particularly is, what if you do this and people say, that's fine, let's live with it, you know, that's great. You're running, the City Hall stays as it is, the museum stays as it is, you've got new fire apparatus. I mean, that would be the danger that you potentially get into, is that you spend $4 million to do these two projects, and then you say, we're gonna live with this for another 20 years, which works, but this is what you're gonna end up with, is still this
site. So what point does that back building come down in this design?
This back building here,
yeah,
that would come down in
phase
what
two.
We call phase two.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And speaking of that, you had the, I think from our prior meetings, at least I know from my perspective, was that there would be enough bays facing the street where there would be enough for the fire trucks, and there would be, and especially now that we're moving to two ambulances, we would have one bay just for the ambulances, and they would all be there, and they would stay there instead of having another ambulance added on to the, like at a 90-degree angle.
We always, I guess we always had shown that, let me go back to that floor plan.
You need three bays, because you have an echo car.
Does the echo car stay here or somebody's house?
No, it sits here. It sits here, like today, I'm here today, so the echo car's in the garage. It has to be, because of the drugs in it, it's gotta be in a secured facility. If the paramedic, like if Cody's...
All right, because you don't show us going anywhere into that parking lot area that we own next to the, up to the property line. Am I correct there?
No, we...
I mean, that was the whole idea, is to build as much that way, to get everything out onto the main street.
What we're doing, in the final phase, we weren't able to push the building over there, but we were using this as, this was where we were breaking that cycle of emergency traffic being by the park. So all this parking lot that you're seeing here is strictly for circulation, you know, emergency ambulances come out here, fire trucks come out and load in here, emergency personnel are parking here. This is also a training area for the fire department and EMS. So the bottom line is this little parking lot here is off limits to the public.
Sure.
All emergency vehicles are egressing onto Lake Street, whether it was ambulances coming through this driveway or fire apparatus coming through this way. We had talked about trying to turn the building and get it all pushed up the site, but it didn't work from a circulation standpoint. Can we push this up a little farther this way? There is the potential to do that, but we still need to have that egress happening. You know.
Where's our property line end on that drawing right there?
It's pretty close to where we're showing the that sidewalk there.
Okay.
I have an actual survey drawing that I can pull up here.
I want to see if we could add one more bay onto the structure facing Lake Street and still have room for vehicle traffic to pull back in and pull around.
I think we potentially could. I think that we potentially could do that. Let me pull up a drawing here really quick.
Then you could have maybe a smaller thing just for the police vehicles back there instead of for the ambulance.
Well, you still need separation between the ambulance, fire, and police.
Trailway City doesn't separate the ambulance and fire.
But they because they run both together.
They're all full time.
That's right, they run together. We don't.
Okay, explain to me why you couldn't have them in the next bay over. What's the issue?
Well, you got to run those people all the way through the fire hall to come down to get to the ambulances?
All the way through the fire hall.
If they're going to come all the way back from where their building is?
You mean to get to the ambulance?
Yeah, they're going to have to come all the way across through all in front of all the fire trucks to come down to get to their bay.
Work at engineering that then.
Well, to me, not only that, we could be going out the same time they are. So then you got people running across.
Trailway City does it. I mean, it's worked for them. They haven't smashed vehicles though. That's why, to me, it makes most sense to have those emergency. I know the police department are commenting. They wanted to kind of be back out of sight so nobody knew when they were out on patrol versus when they weren't. So,
Can you explain? Jeff, you said you needed, because of confidentiality and weapons and so forth, you need to be separate. And John, you said you need to be separate because of medications.
I need to be able to have the patient care report secure because of just HIPAA. So I need an office in which I can maintain the patient care report secured. And I need someplace, I was hoping for at least a 6x6 clean room where I could secure our clean supplies and secure our drugs. So I could lock it with like a punch code lock. And it would be a safe spot to have drugs in.
You have drugs in the rig?
No, I have drugs in the office. I have drugs in the rigs, but I have drugs in the office. And the cabinets in the rigs are locked so that in the new vehicles, the cabinets will be locked so the drugs inside the vehicle will be secure, which is...
Right, inside the building.
If I get a state inspection, I have to have the building locked and I have to have the drugs locked inside the vehicle.
And then, so what we were showing in the final iteration was that office, the med storage off that office. We have storage for equipment. But I think the issue is that the EMS staff are in the day room space and so forth here. I think what Dennis is saying is that they'd have to run all the way, you know, to the far end through. I mean, we're showing this open right now, so we're not showing doors between the fire apparatus and the EMS apparatus. So could vehicles be configured in different ways? I think that you do, to answer your question, yes, you could make two of those bays EMS. I think the concern I'm understanding is that if people are stationed here and they get a call, they're gonna have to run all the way to the fire. Could you put fire or EMS vehicles there? I mean, I think that in this plan, there is the opportunity to make that work.
And put them on the first one?
Yeah, so I think there's that.
That solves that problem. I think that's what we had to begin with, was it was a shorter setback because the ambulance was obviously in one.
So I think that there's opportunities. And what we're trying to do is the decon room was shared, the, you know, we're trying to do as much shared as we talked about. This day room, bunk room, and that space is not a shared space. That you need that for the function of your service. And so that was what it is, and we put it on that far side because it made the most sense to be on that side of the building for what it was doing. The men's rooms, the body board cleaning areas, decon rooms and all that, our intent was that was all gonna be shared between EMS and fire staff, that middle section there. And then, again, we have the turnout gear locker areas. There's still space showing, you know, for turnout gear locker there. We've talked about putting a compressor in this room, the hose, you know, the idea of using the tower for a truly a hose drying tower. So it's a neat element on the exterior of the building. So we haven't lost a lot of that stuff, and we've just tried to refine it. And again, in the phase one plan, we weren't using this training room as a training room. We were using it as bunk rooms and day room for EMS as a quote-unquote short-term solution. So, and then as far as where the property line is, let me go back to this drawing. The property line is pretty much at the edge of the pavement next door is where that. So could we add another bay in? Sure. I think we could add another bay in there. It's just that, you know,
if we still have a drive for the emergency vehicles to go back into that.
Right. So there is a little bit of room to configure that, and I think that would be a possibility to look at doing that. And what that would do is if you look at how the building's configured right now, that day room space sticks out a little bit farther than this space, just to get our four vehicles and everything we need to do with that. So
if you had that over there, you could bring that back in closer then? Potentially?
Potentially, yes. I mean, we have a little bit of room, but yes, if we took, if we took this bay out, we could slide
or
that
two,
down.
Or two of those bays, or one. Yeah. If you took two bays out. Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't be able to take two out because we have a stair upstairs that we can look at in a second.
Okay.
But I mean, we can play with that. Maybe we could take two. We certainly could take one bay out of there.
If they're in the first stall in the garage facing Lake Street, then they're not going to have to run through the fire vehicle.
You're saying if they were in that bay there.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. I mean, that's how many feet is it from where they're at to go down to the.
The distance across here is
there, there.
70 feet from here to here. So,
what's the length of the ambulances, John? Do you know what happens on vehicles over here?
I needed that.
You
stacked
two ambulances in.
I needed 56 feet.
For two or one?
Two.
Yeah, and we have got 62. So,
so that's kind of leaving you a very limited space between doors, limited space between.
Well, with 60, I can open up. With 60, I could still open up the door and egress out the stretcher. The one idea that Mr. Derrick has is that if you added another bay, you could create a wash bay, because right now you're not showing any opportunity to do that other than spraying, overspraying vehicles or getting the whole area wet when you wash. So if you created one more bay section and created a wash bay, we don't keep the echo car in the building 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, because there are days like Brian takes it home or Henry takes it home. But there are days when I do have it in the building and it's got to be secure and it's got to be in an environmentally, you know, controlled space. But if Dennis had his ladder truck and wanted to wash it, it'd be easy to move the echo car out of the way and you'd have a bay in which to wash the ladder truck. I would have a bay in which I could succeed in or take care of the ambulances without overspraying back on the three fire trucks.
And I think that the point of if there was a run where both sets of vehicles were going out to, that was part of the premise here, is that, you know, these vehicles would egress around the building, these vehicles would egress out. But it certainly works. It's just a functional thing for your departments to work through as far as making that.
Well, I think we need to, you know, our training room's going to be there, and you got to, I mean, personally, I wouldn't like to see the ambulances there.
Wow.
The trucks in the truck will be locked.
It's just two separate.
I thought we were going to have like a joint.
No, we'll be together. Yeah, no.
I thought we were going to send them Erland. Don't we have some drawings from back this summer where we talked about a shared training room for fire and ambulance and?
I assume that training room is shared. I mean, I think that this space.
Well, that takes away our meeting room then. So now we don't have a place to put our guys to come in when we do our training. We don't train with them.
You got to have a meeting room.
I mean, I think you guys are missing the whole point.
My point again is to have all the bridges right in a row facing Lake Street. I've never advocated putting ambulances in the back, ever.
What's the function?
I don't know if I missed.
Yeah, but I'm trying to understand what the functional benefit is on that. What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, if you're looking for a response time, so they don't have to pull out and carefully, go around the straight egress. It just appearance and functionality. It seems better to have them.
If you're looking at response time, I mean, I can see
all of it.
I can see with regards to having the. I mean, there's common areas between the two departments that they're going to be sharing and using back and forth.
Right.
But we've got each department kind of focused in its own specific area without so much crossover. So I think when you're talking about response time, the way it is right now, them getting in a truck is going to be a lot, from their sleeping bays or something like that, is going to be a lot quicker than having to migrate someplace else around the building, whether it's fire department or. So I'm just looking at
Charlotte Boys City. That works there, and that was the vision I had all along. So
they're full time, though.
Yeah, they're full time, and they run ambulance and fire together. Mm-hmm. But when you go to other areas that don't, they don't operate like that.
You are trying to create a space that's going to house 66 individuals that has the potential. I have 23 staff. Dennis has 23 staff. Dennis comes back from a fire. On the previous one, Ray, when you showed the bunk room designation. With a small coffee area or microwave area or kitchenette area, where are you going to put 23 firemen that come back? Because they're going to want to come back and have a cup of coffee and debrief over the fire.
Well, that's what the training room. That's why it's shown as being a fire.
But you just
when put, I say that
you put bunk shared, rooms
let
in
me
there.
Just jump one plan really quick so like we can look at the upper floor, because there was a lot of the whole upper floor in this where we've gone to in this scenario is all essentially shared training space. So let's just look at that because we're
other the training room.
Right.
So upstairs, the big thing that we talked about was going to putting the meeting room on the second floor, looking off to the lake. We have a small conference room and a mid-sized conference room. We have lobby space to accommodate these people. We moved MSU Extension upstairs in this scheme. And then we had future space basically to grow. So as far as training rooms go, there's actually a lot of training rooms on premise that would be shared by a lot of different people, is what the thought was with what we were doing. So this whole plan, the yellow being the shared, is essentially almost entirely a shared functional space in the middle of the building, second floor. And then moving back to the first floor plan, one thing that we did talk to the police chief about in we moved some things around here, is we originally had where the purple is, we had that as police, and then we had the police garages and so forth opening onto Lake Street. Their preference was to be on the back because they had concerns about people seeing them when they're there at like this time of night and so forth. So we did make the flip-flop of putting the police garage on the back side, and then the police function is that dark blue. So they still had the situation where you walk in the door,
the main lobby,
nice stairway ahead of you, elevator over here, you'd see the police reception area, you'd see the city administration reception area, and then what we did is we took where those police garages were and we brought the museum back on site into its own space that's enclosed, still under the supervision of the city staff essentially, but it worked out pretty well that way. So that's kind of the current plan, took that thinking and those ideas together, and then it was again just similar to what we had. I can bring up the last plan, but we had something similar. We did have EMS as its own kind of wing, and then fire sharing that. So, and the only change that happens site plan wise when we go to that route is, we lose a little bit of parking because now we have to put garage doors for police back in this area. So but the idea was at the time of night that those vehicles would be there and so forth, that it wouldn't be an issue. So that's the only negative about this, is that you still would have the potential of a police vehicle having to egress through this, you know, what we were trying to create, a quieter public situation.
Should you have like a one-way cut through on the back corner there, right there?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Like a one-way, you know?
Or just, yeah, if we opened up.
Emergency vehicle only notification, you know, whatever.
I think we have a lot of parking, and, you know, we were talking about trying to pick up more parking here and parking off here. So the bottom line is, that's probably a great idea to say, just make an emergency vehicle.
Not pull out in front of the park.
Unless you're responding to something in the park or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was what they liked about it, is that in this view, you could see that they have basically a view of the park and everything, so that they can keep an eye on what's going on there, and everything would be, you know, still working this concept of that we're creating this village green idea out in front of the, you know, utilizing Veterans Park as a village green for the building. It addresses town, the tower piece, which was kind of an iconic thing that we really liked. And then what we did is, on this latest iteration, we went from the steeper slope back to more of a shallower slope for two reasons, because people were concerned about the height. But when we added that additional height or additional space upstairs, we just don't want the roof to get too high. So, and this is actually kind of the architectural style that the library has, which is a pretty nice idea that we thought that tying some of these civic pieces together across town really works out well, and still keeping the nice brick detailing and everything that we are trying to, you know, go after. And what we look at with here, I just show the latest image of what we were looking at is, so that kind of look of that tower, still nice brick detailing and everything with the building, and we were just showing that nice lobby with a glass wall and everything at this point to really keep that as a focal point, looking out from the park and addressing downtown. And then we kind of see it in this image of that idea of the La France, which we always thought was a really cool thing. We haven't lost that. So again, we're, you know, coming down Lake Street, there's still a strong, we haven't lost the presence, I guess, that we had talked about of, you know, driving down Lake Street, seeing the glass doors, seeing the emergency vehicles in the bays and that sort of thing. So we're trying to keep that. And I think that, you know, can we explore adding another bay and shortening? And I think that's certainly doable, because the property line is probably in this area here. It would adjust parking and things, but I think that there's definitely room to move more space there.
Well, there may be the room. I want to make sure it has the function, though.
Yeah. And another thing that we brought up before, too, is we do a lot of fundraising. And we need our own kitchen, because we keep, I got three freezers right now. We'll probably open this up and do breakfasts and stuff and dinners in this place and stuff like that. And if they're going to have stuff going in and out on their side, that's going to cut us back down. I guess we can cut out our fundraising. I don't care.
I'm keeping my mind open.
I'm just saying, this is what we talked about, sharing rooms there, but both having our separate identities. Because we don't run EMS. And he doesn't run fire. What we do, we
don't
together.
Go into burning buildings.
But,
well, we want something that's going to work for the long term of everybody.
Oh, sure.
I think we want to explore both these options that are out here and look at the pros and cons and see if there's ways to work through the issues. And
Mike, you said you put the drawings up on the website.
Yes,
so
this is everything here was emailed to the
pull one bay out for the top, because you're showing four up there right now in that phase, right? So you'd have the two rigs and the echo car, and then you could move that down and should add another extension there.
Maybe we should wash chair.
We need a wash bay. Give that top space to the police department.
No, well, you mean is phase one or phase two?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Tom and I got into a
conversation.
But theirs is in that blue in the middle at the top.
How many bays are in that, in the blue?
There's two stacked. Basically, what they were looking for is they have three vehicles, and then they wanted to have a evidence bay is what they were looking at. So you had the, I'm sorry, I didn't even see you back there. So, yep. So we were looking at the three vehicle bays, and then we were giving you an evidence, a gated evidence bay where you guys could keep.
That's your evidence room there, is right there then?
Yeah.
One single.
Entry to an evidence room, some kind of external inside garage, storage for large items.
Yeah.
Can I change the direction of conversation? Because whether it's phase one, phase two, and phase three of doing it all at once, we're back to point A as we, our direction, and we were all on the same page that let's see how far that 2.5 million goes to build here and the DPW.
Right.
Well, that 2.5 is now 4. So we can't pay for the 4 because we only have 2.5.
Yeah.
So then, well, let me continue. So then we talked about, okay, a millage. And we found out that it took 2 mills to go to a vote of the people to get the 7 million that we needed to do the total package. And we backed off on the 2 mills because we thought at this time, you know, we were pretty favorable for a 1 mill, but maybe 2 mills was too much. Mm-hmm. So this, we have to discuss finances before sure. we discuss details, because
well, yeah, once you know what direction, then you got to know what you got to work with.
Yeah, because what we found out is that the
numbers didn't come in where I needed them.
Exactly. We have 2.5 and coming in at 4.
The cost was that much for that's at the fire section there.
Mm-hmm. So
or this piece right here, you're
that's
saying.
Crazy.
But again, we're doing a block, you know, it's brick construction.
Sure.
And, you know, so there's, it's like the one we did in East Jordan was all wood framed and it was fairly inexpensive. And they got a lot of square footage, and it's a really nice looking building, but it's not what we're talking about
right.
here, because that's not what we heard either. Is that
no.
So some of that cost, you know, that you're talking about is the first phase would be a pretty high quality piece. Like I said, even putting that tower and everything else in there, you know, we were pretty pleasantly surprised as far as that as a standalone building would be a pretty impressive structure. You know,
oh, sure.
So that was the situation. Can we, you know, for lack of a better word, dumb it down and make it less expensive? That's something that we can explore, but we wanted to try to say this is what we've talked
right.
about and these are the real costs. I mean, we're not benefiting to make it any more expensive. We want to do what we can to get it in the dollars. It is what it is. So
and I love it, but our job is now to discuss how do we come up with 4 million
right.
or how do we come up with 7 to 9 million. I mean, that's we have to solve
or
that
we,
problem before we even talk details.
Do we just do DPW?
No, I'm not in favor of that.
And then get the ambulance out of where we're at, bring them over here.
Well, you can't. You have to do this to bring the. You have to do at least phase one to bring EMS over to this site. So, and again, this is our first discovery, taking what we've done in the schematic and trying to take it to one more step further on these phase one and two for this site. So, again, I don't expect any decisions today. I think it was more just to get the information out to everybody to say, this is the reality of where we think we are. These are how we think it would play out. Does it work? I think it functionally does work, but the costs are more than what you expected. And
exactly.
So that's
so,
what we have to look at. So I think that, you know, that's the bottom line, is that keeping this intact, we have to build this to get EMS out of their space. That's the bottom line. This piece has to be built. And then also, it's just, this is, in this iteration, most of the fire is moving to this location.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's just something to discuss as far as, I don't think it's a long-term solution for EMS or for fire to do just this is the issue. It's still at that halfway point.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been researching is to try and find, you know, how can we use what money we have available now to get us as far as we can? And is there an option, rather than spending the $2.5 million directly on building, to use that as possibility for a loan? So I've talked to the USDA RD, you know, how much time would that buy us with regards to payments? With, you know, and we're still in the process of working with that. They can give us a 30-year loan. It's payable at any time without any penalties. And I think that right now they're like at 4.8% interest on that. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, how many years can we go ahead with $2.5 million worth of work? Because I really like the idea of getting it all done, getting the savings. I mean, as long as we have City Hall and the old building behind us, we're not going to be as efficient as we can. We're going to be paying utilities to do something with it. So I'm trying to figure out if there's ways that we can use what resources we have available to get us going, and either to pay it all the way
You know, we'll have to figure out some type of payments, and we probably have to find another $100,000 or $200,000 a year out of something else. Do we take it out of roads? Do we start getting less new equipment? You know, if we're not getting a millage someplace, it has to come from someplace. Or does that buy us time to do a millage? Even if it's one mill, take the money that we've got now, add it with one mill, and can we pay it off within 30 years? So we're trying to, now that we've got our audit done, gone through, and I'm starting to do some initial reviews of, okay, what much, you know, how much money do we have to work with? Because we, you know, we've got Court Street and other big projects, we want to make sure that we're not cheating ourselves. So I'm still looking at, I haven't given up completely on, is there a way to fund this now that we have some other numbers to work with?
And I think the one thing that I would point out too is, you know, if we do this phase one approach and you look at what I had for existing City Hall, you know, we put in $140,000 into existing City Hall, and assuming that we're going to have to some re-roofing to do because there's leaks in this part we're demoing, but there's leaks in other places. Some re-roof numbers there. We have to redo the wall as we discussed earlier. We have, you know, some interior work. We're going to have some interior work that's going to have to take place, whether it's replacing lights or ceilings or some stuff. We weren't doing much, but we're thinking there's some. So, I mean, we have dollars in there that are, you know, I put $73,000 in to do maybe some work at the existing, because there's going to probably have to be something that has to be done. Maybe not. Maybe we can take that $73,000 right off the tally. But when you look at that, you're going to see that we put dollars in there for existing City Hall and existing DPW and fire, which at least some of that is not coming back. You know, if you do a phase approach, we're saving money in the short term, but, you know, asking that question of how much or what's the difference, we do have to take some of that into consideration too, because, you know, it's going to be easily $100,000 of work that you're going to put into this building to make it functional for this interim phase that's you're not going to get back long term, but it is what it is. It's so again, you have only have a certain amount of money you can work with, so if we have to it may be what you have to do, but I just want to point it out that that's on that.
So if we were paying interest on a loan, it would probably offset the cost of, and that'd be an interesting
analysis to do.
Yeah.
Again, you've got that work, and you've got just the efficiencies of the building that are going to make so much difference as well, too. We did, Andy and I had a meeting with a representative from Consumers Energy, and they have all these opportunities for some grants that'll work with our new buildings as well, too, as we get a little further step down the road. That'll all the lights will replace and things of that nature, so there's some efficiencies to gain there as well, too, and some more grant money coming in.
Do you know how much a payment would be, how much we need to borrow to do the whole thing?
Cindy and I are going to run those numbers hopefully between now and our meeting next week.
Because the $2.5 million we have saved would last, what, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, we don't know.
I don't want to estimate.
See what I'm getting at? We use the $2.5 million to make payments.
Right.
And we get the whole thing paid for at once and bill it once. Because this still doesn't solve the police department's issue. It still doesn't solve getting rid of the eyesore, the old barn. It does solve DPW. I mean, I'm all for that.
And I will tell you,
but the goal was to get them out of there and move, you know, before we said, hey, let's see what we can do. If we can do both new fire, you know, I thought fire and ambulance, but whatever, and the DPW together, we could raise that building if I just had it gone.
Exactly.
You know, that was kind of the direction that I was leaning for.
I think we all agree. Well, that's coming in at $4 million. Mm-hmm. So now what the hell what do we do?
Right. Well, that doesn't have the back building gone. At
right.
$4 million.
Even, no, I know.
That's part of what we wanted.
Because in addition to like the electrical and storage and stuff like that we've talked about, there's additional cost just to tear the thing down.
Oh, sure. Yeah, at some point we're going to pay those.
At some point we're going to pay it, but we kind of try to put that at the back end right now to try and make the front end a little bit more affordable. Right.
And the other thing that I don't have in my cost factor is if you do it all now, you still got to get city administration out and you have to get the police out. So you're going to have some cost involved with a
temporary
housing for city functions that are happening here now that I didn't factor that, and I don't know how to factor that in, but there would have to be some factor
that's an offsetting.
People are moving out, so there's a little, and maybe that's in that owner cost number that I put in there, you know, percentage cost, basically, on that last phase for the owner cost, on that one, we had $284,000. I don't think you're gonna have that much in furniture, and, you know, but you might have technology and wiring things, and some, you'll have some new furniture, I presume.
But even with this phasing cost, if we built the new part up here, at some point, we're gonna be tearing down the city hall and the existing facilities. We're still gonna have that issue of where do we put those people while that's being reconstructed.
Yeah.
It's just when we're gonna have that cost. I don't think we avoid that cost one way.
Right.
No, you're right.
I think it's a fairly constant.
You don't know what's gonna be available at any given time as to where you might move people to, I guess.
We rent space for 3 months elsewhere in the city. I mean, I don't know. That's a small problem, in my opinion.
Okay, I just wanted to throw it out there, though, it is an issue.
I'm almost having that as a zero.
Yeah.
There were some of the other vendors that mentioned that is easily workable.
Yeah.
Ray, this orange area is the ambulance area, the EMS.
Correct.
And it shows a space for 4 vehicles.
Correct.
Are we planning on having space for 4 vehicles or 3? So we don't need that fourth one? Okay.
So there would be some savings there.
Okay. Is there a wash bay at all for the ambulances?
Right now, we talked about the wash bay up at DPW being a wash bay that could be used by everybody. So we didn't ever talk about a dedicated wash bay on this site, but we were talking in the scheme of trying to keep things, because...
I
like you, Ray, but I'm not going to spray my vehicle down at 2 a.m. at the DPW and then you bring it in.
Yeah, but what I was looking at here is if we eliminated one bay and moved the last bay on the other side of the room, the area where the common area is at the end of that orange stretch, then the police could use the wash bay, the ambulances could use it, you know, and maybe, I don't know what size you'd make it, but you could do a drive-through this way,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you would actually have a wash bay that would accommodate the vehicles here. Yeah?
That would be nice.
Where do we wash our police cars now?
Probably at the...
The DPW's wash bay.
Oh, you run them up there? So they all
driveway,
run up
whatever
there.
They
your screen is doing that.
They just wash them in the garage here.
Just wash them here?
Inside the garage.
I just thought
I was trying to find which,
in the summertime, it works out well for them. In the wintertime, not so well.
Yeah.
Take it in. Right. Because we're so packed with all our stuff in here in the wintertime.
Break, click out the desktop and go to your video setting.
It's just a thought. I thought it might be kind of nice to have a wash bay for the ambulances
on the
and the police
desktop.
Cars.
Well, I promise I'll give a discount to use mine.
Yeah.
Use ours.
Screen resolution.
Well, in the winter we have no way to wash our trucks and they come back.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've got all your.
So.
Yeah. Right now there's
so you could run them up to the new DPW and run them through there. Right.
Well, then you got to drive them back.
Right. And then they get.
I understand what they're saying is, you know, you get them clean, then you drive them back through the salt stuff, and
right,
now here
right.
we go. They're all
the display. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought, like, right on the end here would be kind of nice, because that would be a nice drive-through.
Yeah. Depending upon how I can't see what he's got there, you know. They have to have egress out of these bunk areas to the outside.
Yeah, but you just move this down. Take this bay out.
Yeah,
put this on the end. Do you see what I mean? You still have the same setup. It's just flip this over here and make that a wash bay on the end.
So you're top. Right, and go down one.
It's large
right
enough, you couldn't even use
it. Should be at see 1 minute.
That's a lot.
There you go. I think that like 20 or whatever.
Like right here. Like right here where you drive.
Hey, run it off. There you go.
Yeah, all right.
To
cut a bay up.
Yeah,
easy access department.
Yeah, for
the chair with a bolt.
Oh.
I don't know if that's small parts.
Sir, if you're talking about cutting the EMS bay down by one, aren't you going to have to downsize the police?
Oh, we got a couple of conversations going on here. Let's have one at a time. So Mayor's talking.
Ask me the question. I don't know what I said.
I said, I think, what do you think?
I thought, you know, if we put a whole new campus in here with these concepts and this, what we're currently using, would just totally go away. I'm going to start from scratch.
that is...
It's only a half a million dollars difference.
Yeah, ultimately, it is all going away. Your concept is correct. This just shows it in phases. All of it would go away when this is all said and done. There wouldn't be anything saved.
Okay, so phase two is...
Remove the rest.
Utilizing
the facility, it's removing the... Phase two with the building.
Removing the current facility and the museum.
That's phase two completely.
Correct. And the back garage and everything would disappear at that point.
Yeah, that's where all the parking would be revamped and all that sort of thing.
All that's shown there is all new construction.
Yeah.
In one or two phases.
That's the end product.
Correct.
Yeah, I like the look of it very much.
Ray, is that...
I think that's...
Is that 7 or 9 million?
You say 9.
With DPW.
With DPW.
9.
That itself is 7, but yeah, total 9. You did have some comments in the audience that Gary was trying to say.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't hear it talking over. You were talking about cutting a day off the EMS. If you do that, you're going to have to downsize, aren't you going to have to, I'm not an architect, but it seems that you'd have to downsize the police department, and this corridor and stairway area is going to have to be relocated and moved down, right?
Well, the EMS actually is sticking out farther than the police. Right now, if you look at where the edge of the police department is, EMS is actually sticking out farther. So if we downsized it, it would actually bring it back to even with the police department. So looking at this drawing again...
It looked visually, it looked better.
It's fine either way, but we have the ability to pull back and it wouldn't affect the building at all. It'd actually bring it more in line with what is happening there. And the only thing that I didn't, you know, I'm just, as we're talking and thinking, I mean, there may be a possibility to bring EMS to the other end, like you're saying, we haven't explored that, but you almost could bring the day room and everything and the bays all the way to this end. I just don't think we're going to have the access off of Lake Street for the people coming for a call. Then they would have to, you'd have still people speeding through. And I don't know, we'd have to look at it, but I don't, it could be an option. It might be something to explore if that's where we want to look. And then it would eliminate that entire, you know, orange... I mean, all I'm suggesting is if you were able to bring this entire orange piece over to this location here, and then just completely abandon it. That's only a single story piece of it. I don't know what it would look like. We could look at it.
Well, maybe that is the best concept. I had it from the beginning to keep them all in continuous line, but...
Well, some people...
If that's not gonna work logistically, and then...
The other thing too, I think we're gonna cut off a lot more of our view of the lake.
Right.
You know, accessible view to the lake, if we stretch this building all the way down the road to Hollywood.
And that was some of the discussion that we heard was definitely people, you know, the view of the lake issue did come up, you know. So, and some people liked the garage doors, some people didn't like the garage doors. I mean, it's a personal preference thing. I don't think there's a right or wrong thing.
Too many garage doors on Lake Street looks terrible.
Yeah. Too much for good things, not always a good thing.
Yeah, it's just too much of the same. It's not enough building variety.
If you added the ambulance to be in the further, couple, three more bays.
I think it's just too many garage doors. And Charleboy gets away with that because it's on a back street. It's
right.
Not right.
It is on
the
back. Right.
But I think getting rid of the one bay is going to save some square footage. So, I mean, it's not going to be substantial, but the number is going to go down a little bit as we do those kind of moves. And I mean, what I would ask is, again, Mike's got the drawings up on the website. These are not meant to be, as I said last time, they look like final drawings, but there's a long way to go here. So if people have comments, it's okay to, you know, to provide feedback. That's what the whole point of this process is that these are not fixed plans for anybody, whether it be police, EMS, fire. I mean, we want feedback now. It's a lot easier to make changes at this stage than it is, you know, down the road. So every department really should be looking at these plans and providing comments back. So.
Oh yeah, I think I'm on board with the orange drawing.
Wasn't that your original drawing you had up at the Lutzenberger?
I can show you just if you want to see what we, just for reference, that we did have that.
Because the museum's back in, I think it's a little bit more with the second floor.
The concept that we called that one at the time was called Concept D. And let me see what the right, well, this one will show us the color blocks. So it was very similar in terms of... The fire didn't change, I mean, the concept of the La France and so forth, that piece stayed, you know, what, this tweaked a little bit as far as, I think we have a better gear, turnout gear layout and everything that we were doing there. And then, you know, this didn't show where we were actually in this version putting the day room and everything for the EMS upstairs, which I think is much better to be on the same level because of the response time. And then we flip-flopped the police and we gave a home for the museum that we didn't have. So there's, you know, conceptually it was similar, but there has been changes for sure. But this was the concept D that was always that level of garage doors and so forth that we were looking at. So. And we had four different concepts.
I knew the goal was to go with two ambulances, but that's only going to take out one more garage door. With the two rigs, that's where my thought was the whole time.
Yeah, so
we wouldn't have two or three more days.
Right.
Thing is, though, each ambulance needs to have its own door to go out, so you can rotate a lot easier and faster, and or
yeah.
You know, plus you still have your vehicle car.
Has to or
should I personally?
I mean, my job could be doing that.
Hey, we got doors in the front and the back. I don't think it's that big a deal for somebody to hop in the vehicle, move it forward, and move the other one in the back.
That's my logic.
Yeah.
Unless there's a rule or a safety issue with that, can't be done. That was my thinking. That's why I thought about having those on the end there.
Well, I thought you were talking about stacking, like in this, the existing orange part, just having stacked in with no other way out.
No, down to the right.
Gotcha.
The
fire.
And I think the only other
thing they'd have to back in on the current.
I'm moving back up here is that we do show this as unallocated space. So there's a small area of square footage that would be unallocated than MSU. And I think that the thought was MSU has a lot of presentation and group type activities that they could take advantage of these larger conference rooms if they didn't do it within their own space. So we're pretty close to showing the square footage that they have now.
Mm-hmm.
And these lot, I mean, this could be fairly functional space here that we don't need to just keep as lobby, and I think that would be an area that I think has some refinement. But what we did is we stacked the bathrooms, and we're trying to make some efficiencies where we can so that plumbing can be stacked and things like that happening. So, but you can see what's happening with the stairway out of here is that based on the number of people we have, we've got to have multiple exits out of this upper floor. And so that stairway could slide down a little bit. We are allocating this for mechanical so that if we had to put any rooftop units, they would be back hidden away on the side and everything else. So there's some, I think, good things happening plan-wise on the second floor as well. But there'd be really nice views out to the lake and the park and everything from this whole side, which is really all community space, which I think is a nice thing. So, and then this, just to point out, is that shows what this space of the existing auditorium, that line is the line of that mezzanine step, so it gives you a sense that we've expanded about 3 to 4 feet, you know, each way in
all
this
way
room.
Around.
Yeah. It, where, and I think that it's a little bit more usable not to have it. So, and I did put in here too, if you look closely, the occupant loads that would be per code. So, you know, this room as shown for a chair only event would be 237 occupants, and tables and chairs would be 108 occupants by code.
That would definitely need to
be
for quite a while.
This room
is
about 70?
109.
107.
107.
That's chairs only. And that's
chairs only, yeah.
And that's kind of pushing it, trust me.
Right.
So I mean, that doubles it anyway.
So even if you win.
So you have about 130.
Yeah.
So what do they figure a square foot for a person in a chair?
Seven per square foot. 15, if table and chair is 15 square feet per person, and a chair only is 7. And standing is 5. So
what's the total size of this new game plan structure with the second story and everything compared to what we have existing?
That one, the grand total square footage is, where am I at here? We are at 33,000 square feet, almost 34,000 square feet, 33,956.
Okay.
And going back to, if I can find that,
That's for EMS and everybody?
That's all in.
The whole thing.
This campus.
This whole campus, okay.
Everything with DPW.
Not DPW. I just wanted to see what the.
Yeah, so right now you're at $29,000. Actually, City Hall is $14,000 and the garage is $14,000, so total is $29,000, so we've.
What about EMS currently is?
EMS, I.
Currently is.
Did not have that number.
Okay, so it's actually, you add $29,000 plus whatever.
That's not.
I think we're at $4,000.
Right, I know, but it's still space.
Right. It's being utilized.
I'm just comparing.
That was in the initial study.
No, John's about 4,000 square feet out there at the existing.
Pretty close.
So we're pretty close, but if you look at what you're picking up, your efficiency wise, you're picking up a ton of space, so. I mean, there's no comparison to the space you're getting, square footage wise, we're very close. I think we picked up, I mean, if you look at, I didn't do this calc, this table was from the other versions and we can do the same thing with this version. I just haven't had the time to pull that together, but the bottom line is, if we look at like, you know, what administration's gaining, you know, I'll update that square footage table just so we can look at that context too. But I think that there's, everybody's picking up square footage.
Okay.
So overall, we're not gaining a lot of square footage, but I think across the board departmentally, everybody's picking up square footage. And we still have a section of at least, I think, between 1,000 and 2,000 square feet that was unassigned. So there's some growth built into this, I think, across the board.
Just better utilization of the space from what we currently have. Well, we got so much wasted space in here, so. Okay, all right, thank you.
Well, I think the.
And if some, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mayor. I'm just gonna say, if somebody says, you know, the existing layout, you just kind of put some paint on it and it's fine, maybe do a roof and a little more insulation and stuff like that, you know, it should be good to go. Well, again, that doesn't solve our efficiencies for everything, you know. The police department has major problems. I mean, has it been, just like the current DPW and fire department, you know, gone above and beyond to make it work? Is it the right thing? At the end of the day, my opinion is no. So that's what we're trying to do here is not build a Taj Mahal, make it look, represent Boynton City, solve our efficiency issues. And we're back down, at the end of the day, it's still the money thing. That's what can you do, when, and how can we maximize our dollars?
Okay, and to summarize that, that's where I was gonna come from, is to give our city manager the green light to enter into serious discussions with USDA and see how far the money will go and be able to bring that back to us. I think as far as going any further tonight, as far as utilization and, you know, square footage and more details. And as Tom said earlier, you've got to know what you've got to work with. And I think we're all in, have been in agreement, the best thing to do is, if we can figure out how to do it, is finance the whole project right up front and use our savings to make payments for next 2 or 3 years.
I don't know if all of those things felt that way.
Well, I've heard of consensus, I'll take it, I'll remove that statement.
Okay.
But anyways, there is a consensus to go that way, so we can best utilize what we've already saved.
Up until our last meeting, then that consensus did go away.
Yeah, so, but we need to give him a green light to go forward.
Well, if it's an option, then it's an option. I would never stand in the way of looking at an option.
It doesn't commit us to anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Continue to look at all the options and, you know, I think part of the.
To discuss it any further tonight, it's, there's no sense going on from this point until we nail down the financing.
Yeah, we've got rough numbers and they can go up or down, the square feet can go up or down a little bit, and, you know, whatever. You know, the nice thing would have been to be able to configure where, you know, even if it took 2 years or, you know, whatever of saving, and then you come in and do the rest, you know, have it exist and move. That's why I was really hoping we could get this done then. If we had to save for 2 or 3 years, you know, and I know the police department wouldn't be solved, but we would have an end date and we would, you know, budgets would be designed and geared towards reaching that goal, the commitment would have to be made, and then in, you know, 4 years, you would have everything paid for, no payments, no loans, no bonds, you know, that's kind of the direction that I was looking at. Maybe if it took, you know, that long, 3 to 4, you know, most 3 would be great. You know, parlay our money somehow, like, you know, grants, but.
I agree totally, but the numbers didn't support our theory.
Yeah.
That's right. So now we need.
We need hard.
We need to get somebody to sharpen some pencils is what we need.
And we need.
Take square footage. Square footage equals dollars.
The only way to get 9 million is a millage, which would be more than 2 mils. Raise tax rate, which you don't want to do. Or, now Mike says a possible loan. So a loan, we can do it all at once. We're not raising people's taxes. We are going in debt, but we have 25% of it already saved.
That's
I mean,
right.
You know, when you go to get a bank as a person, they want 25%, 30% down.
Yeah.
We have it.
Yeah.
And that buys us time.
Mm-hmm. Then, you know, I know if that is the ultimate decision, however it's voted in, then my point would be then we make this board and this city administration makes a concerted effort to work on getting that taken care of as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
Whatever that is, if that's a 3 or 4 year mm-hmm. payoff,
yeah.
and then you sacrifice, that's no different than your personal life. You know, you don't get everything you want when you want it. Sometimes you have to save and sacrifice to do that.
I agree with everything you say, but I don't think 3 or 4 years is realistic. I think maybe 10 or 12 years.
But here's the other thing that we're
right.
missing.
Yeah,
this.
5 years.
When you look at a USDA loan, say we had a 30-year loan, we've got 25 or 30% of it paid down or to use to, you know, to make the payments on it. When we looked at the income analysis, we had the spreadsheets there. It showed what a millage was worth 15 years ago was worth $89,000. 1 mil. 15 years later, it's worth $187,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you have inflation going for you, too, where, you know, as far as shouldering the debt long term, 30-year loan makes more sense than anything, because 30-year, and the other thing, there's no prepayment clause on this as far as the USDA loan. Inflation, we have runaway inflation for 4 or 5 years like we had in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
You might pay this thing off in 20 years,
mm-hmm.
even if it is $9 million or half or whatever. But to do it right, you need to do the whole thing, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you still got the costing that supports what you can borrow based on your ability to borrow at this point in time. So I think it's like I really feel they give Mike the green light to go into some serious discussions with USDA for, say, $9 million.
Can I ask, is USDA the only available institution to
No, one of the things I want to talk to our financial advisor with regards to it. One of the USDA's requirements is you check with your local lending institutions.
Right.
They like to serve as the bank of last resort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as long as you check with them, you can go with them,
mm-hmm.
it would, depending on what your best option is. But you'd want to shop it, and you know, maybe there may be some tools out there that I'm not aware of that our financial
yeah.
consultant could bring to our attention.
Maybe
there's
lower.
Some pitfalls here that we don't know about yet.
Right. And is there anything maybe lower in percentage than
That's
5
quite
and a quarter?
Possible.
You know,
and
for that
well,
size of a loan to a city,
yeah.
there might be something
well,
quite a bit
thing,
lower
you know,
out there.
We take hometown banks, you know, local banks,
uh-huh.
not the big three that
right.
you know are currently in our community. And going back how some of the things were done 15, 20, 30 years ago, they do participation loans where
mm-hmm.
you might have 3 banks in a consortium, each
right.
take a piece of that loan
mm-hmm.
and wind up getting a you know, a reduced rate, interest
mm-hmm.
rate. So
mm-hmm.
that's why you go to the local banks first.
Okay.
And we do have some, you know,
mm-hmm.
some
right.
But the, but before we can go any further with this process and spend more time on details and orientation and utilization, we need to nail down the money part, and that's where Tom was coming from earlier, and so that's where I'm coming from. Don't be as scared of a 30-year loan.
Well, what I think I've heard from the commission is they don't have any problem with researching that option.
No.
And bring that back for you guys to take a look at.
But don't be afraid of it.
Oh, I'm not afraid of it at all.
I mean, we buy a house that way.
Hey, right.
I mean, we're taking, taking care of 3,800 people in the city of Boyne City, and we're serving 10,000 people that surround us here in the six townships. We wouldn't have the money that we have right now if we didn't have the partnerships with the EMS, the fire department, the planning, the assessing, where we're spread, you know, reducing our cost by spreading the broader base, so.
Well, and some of that piece may be through, hopefully, maybe through a grant for the EMS or.
And if we hadn't done what we've done, we wouldn't have that money sitting there right now.
I keep hoping.
Yeah, I mean, we can't bank on that, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, hopefully, there might be something that turns up.
We keep looking.
Between now and then. Yeah.
So.
Be nice.
Any further questions from the audience in regards to our process here? Staff members, department heads?
Appreciate the opportunity to participate.
Councilman, lady, councilor.
I like the look of it. I like the anchor feeling with the clock tower and the fire truck and the look off of the main.
Thanks for waking me up, Ray.
And before I ask for adjournment, Ray, is there anything wisdom you want to impart with this? Because you've been part of a lot of projects as far as financing.
We've done several fire projects in the last 5 or 6 years, and I know all of them have been more, there's not been grants or anything that they've been part of. I mean, these small community, or the communities that we work with around here, it's just more, and like Torch Lake was a tax-based thing that they had the finances, and then East Jordan was, I think they did get a local participation from Malpas Foundation, I believe.
Right.
So I think that there's, you know, I guess there's maybe was some grant work potentially put there, but nothing like a statewide thing that I'm aware of.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. And it's not our expertise, so I definitely would say, you know, financial counsel from others would be better. But what I'll, as far as our work to do, we're not going to do anything with these, this site right now, but I think we can still develop a little bit as far as the DPW site. Is that appropriate to say?
I think so.
Okay. Just to keep pushing forward incrementally on DPW, and then we're going to hold.
That has to be done.
Right.
Right.
Well, that was what the original contract, marching orders, and everything. So I'm going to continue forward to at least work with Andy to try to relocate some of these buildings and that sort of thing, and then we'll go from there. So then I'll work with Mike, and we'll figure out what our next work session will be or whatever else. So.
Sounds good. Derek, any further?
When he turned this around,
thoughts?
It was kind of cool.
Just point in the numbers. I just want to get that on the record.
But originally,
okay, so are we ready for an
adjournment?
Okay, it's 8:22, and I'll make a motion that we adjourn the work session.
Yeah, I don't want to say with, but over the cross, too, was kind of cool.
Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunge?
Yeah.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom? Town?
Oh, yes.
Sansom?
Yes.
In town. Motion carried.